Good evening, everybody. We're watching America First. My name is Nicholas J. Fuentes. We have a great show for you tonight. Very excited to be back with you here this evening on Thursday. And we are coming back from yesterday. I know our plan yesterday was to do the D live stream of the 5th Democratic presidential primary debate, which we did do on D live. So I hope you guys caught that last night. If you did, I hope you enjoyed. Our plan yesterday was to do the DLive live commentary, live reaction, as we have done with all of the debates so far. It's been 7, not like anybody's counting, right? 7 2 to 3 hour debates. And the plan was to then come back and do America First. So we're coming back actually from Tuesday because, you know, last night, if you're watching the DLive stream of the debate, it was probably the worst debate by far of the series since the primary began, actually, at the beginning of this year. I think it began in January, but our first debate was in June. It was just the same. It was basically a carbon copy, a repeat of the previous one and the one before that and the two rounds before that. So at the end of the stream last night, I made an executive decision. I said, you know what? There's really not enough even here to fill up a whole show. I said my take can be covered in 5 to 10 minutes. It's boring. It's the same. It's all, you know, the usual Democrat boilerplate entry level kind of stuff. I said, so let's just do a cozy stream. Let's just relax a little bit. It was already like 10:30 at that point. It had gone about a half hour over for some reason. So I made the executive decision. I hope you guys aren't mad at me. I hope you aren't disappointed. I know some people are a little bit disappointed, but generally, the sentiment from what I saw in chat on DLive yesterday was that they preferred the chill stream and didn't want to hear anything more about the debate last night. And trust me, I was right there with you. But we're back here tonight, and we have a great show for you. We're going to be talking about more boring news. I got to tell you, you know, the Groyper War Phase 1 could not go on forever. And I hope you enjoyed it while it lasted. Phase 1, it's not over, but I hope you enjoyed Phase 1 while it lasted. Because as we enter into sort of a winter quartering for the Groyper Army, a holiday quartering for the Groyper troops, we're back to more of the same news, more of the same content, which if you've been following the show for a long time, you know that it's been sort of a perpetual struggle on this show to find something fun or interesting to talk about because the news is just so boring. You know, it's so repetitive. You know, for example, tonight we're going to be talking about the Democratic debate. I'll give you a little bit of a recap from yesterday. We'll give you a little bit of an update on impeachment, which I don't even think I've talked about impeachment for like 2 months. And that is a good thing. That has been a blessing that I've gotten away with that, but you know, we'll give you a little bit of an update on that tonight. We'll talk about a couple of other smaller topics. But I look at something like impeachment as a perfect example. And, you know, you look at some shows or some YouTube channels. I think this was actually covered in an article last week. I'm not sure what publication it was, but it was about Tucker Carlson. And it talked about how on Fox News in particular, you've got Sean Hannity, who I think is the biggest show on the network right now. And every night, it's impeachment headquarters. Every night, it's some breathless recounting of the latest news in the impeachment saga and why Trump should be exonerated. And then you watch a show like Tucker, who I think is the second biggest on Fox, and it's about literally anything else. It's about immigration. It's about, you know, topical things, substantive things. And I've tried so much to be like the latter. It's been a deliberate choice because I have to tell you, this kind of stuff, impeachment, the partisan electoral process even, it is so surface level, it is so cosmetic compared to what's happening on a deeper level. You know, for example, last night, or I'm sorry, not last night, on Tuesday night, the last show that we did, the show was about demographic change. And that's not something that is entirely newsworthy, like something big happened, current events that's happening. But it's a story about something evolving in the country, but one of the most important trends that it seems like nobody really cares to discuss. While they're talking about, you know, all this minutia of Zelensky and Ukraine and these hearings and proceedings and so on. So I've tried desperately to avoid all of that tedium, but, you know, tonight I thought I'd give you a little update because not much else going on. So we'll be doing that tonight. We'll give you a little bit of a recap of the debate And we will also talk a little bit of an update on impeachment. And it should be a good show. We're gonna live with it. We're going to make it fun. We're going to make it exciting. Before we dive into that, I do just want to talk about a couple of things, which I find to be so funny. You know, like I said, the Groyper War has temporarily ceased. Our offensive has ceased for the moment. Phase 1 was completed last week. We had a little bit of an epilogue to Phase 1 on Monday with the big pushback against some of these coordinated smears from Benny Johnson and these other characters. So the Phase 1 was completed last week, and I find it so funny because it was clearly a decisive victory, right? I put this on my Twitter timeline. We had a big celebration stream last Thursday after the last culture war appearance by Charlie Kirk at the University of Houston. And I said, obviously, it was a unparalleled, unambiguous triumph for the Groypers. I believe we went to 9 or 10 Groyper, or rather, Turning Point events. The official tally, I think, was 9, and that was not including 2 Dan Crenshaw events in Texas. He did a Prove Me Wrong, and then he did another one later that evening with, I think, was it Jonah Goldberg? So I think it was actually something like 11. And out of 11, the only one that I can say the Turning Point even put up a fight was at North Carolina. Now, the reason I'm bringing it back up is because there was an email sent to all the major Turning Point people. I guess if you're on their mailing list, you get their junk or whatever, their newsletter. And the headline for what they put out to all the people on their mailing list was, Culture War Tour, a huge victory, Turning Point USA triumphs on the college campus. And a ton of people are sending that to me this afternoon. I just had to laugh. I had to bring it up. It's so funny to me that, I mean, this is, and this has been, generally speaking, like, the phenomenon, I think, of this season in 2019. This has probably been the biggest thing going on in the conservative movement, possibly for years. And I don't mean to say that simply because I've been at the center of it and to be self-aggrandizing or self-important, but I think a lot of people are recognizing that we are really forcing the issue. We're really changing the conversation around immigration, around some of these other questions. And this has been one of the first real challenges to this never Trump establishment, which has since the election in a lot of ways co-opted the Trump base and the Trump movement. You know, you look at like Ben Shapiro or Charlie Kirk. I think it was the first real challenge to them in the wake of that process of co-opting some of the energy, and people are forgetting where they stood in 16. So it's funny to me that all this is being talked about, all this is going on. We have obviously made a huge impact. The show has grown. My Twitter's grown. People are meeting up all across the country on college campuses. Knickers, Groypers, they're talking about demographic change, and they've got the gall to send out this flyer, you know, completely lacking self-awareness to say, triumph, victory, you know. So I just had to point that out. I thought that was funny. And the other thing I want to point out is last night, you may have seen this, Ann Coulter had an event at Berkeley, which, you know, Berkeley is like the epicenter of, you know, liberal college campus pause, degeneracy, hardcore radical leftism. And so she went there to do a speech. I don't know who she was with, if she was with Yaff or if she was with somebody else. She put out kind of a cryptic tweet where she said that Yaff canceled her event. And then she said, well, I haven't done a thing with Yaff for like years. I don't have it right in front of me, but there was sort of a cryptic tweet last night where I didn't really know what she was getting at, if she was doing some kind of a dig at Yaff or something like that. But anyway, she had her speech last night, and from what I understand, it was sort of a brief speech. She took a Q&A. It lasted a little bit over an hour, but you should have seen these protests. It was all over the news, all over Twitter. It was on the Chans, I think. People were lighting up my DLive live chat last night about it. You know, just these huge demonstrations. I think it was like in the hundreds of counter-demonstrators outside of the event venue, harassing people, preventing people from going inside. Arrests were made. I mean, it was a really bad scene. And to me, you know, sort of to bring it back to what I was just talking about, why it's relevant, is I see something like that, and I kind of have two thoughts. My first thought is, do you miss us yet? You know, after you see what's been going on with the Groypers over the last 4 weeks and how brutally they go after us, then you see what the left is like. And you got to ask somebody like, Ann Coulter's pretty cool, but I mean, you have to look at somebody like Charlie Kirk or Michael Knowles, I think, had his event shut down at OSU last night. It's like, hey, miss us yet? Suddenly the Groypers don't look so bad anymore, right? Because everybody, all these like lame establishment people have been using this horseshoe theory argument, where they say, oh, well, the Groypers and the new alt-right, which we're not, but you know, they say that, they're no better than the far left. How are they any better than Antifa? You know, you wish Antifa was like this. You wish the left was like this, where we show up on time, we listen through the speech, respectfully ask our question, and then sit back down. You know, the one time that it got a little bit out of hand, and I think rightly, justifiably so, was the Don Jr. event. And in that case, did the Groypers show up to that event to shut it down? Did they show up with banners? Did they show up with the intention of causing trouble? Or was it that we showed up to ask our questions, they changed the schedule last minute, and then if that wasn't enough, we listened throughout the thing, they had the gall to throughout the speech say that, well, unlike the left, we'll engage with ideas to make us uncomfortable, and, you know, we're in favor of free speech, and so on. And then the chant broke out, you know, demanding the Q&A or whatever, and they rushed off the stage so as not to look bad. But obviously, you look at what happened with Ann Coulter, and even the worst of what the Groypers had going for us in the past 4 weeks, clearly it's night and day. Clearly, one is cool, one is evil. And the other thing, so I said there's two things. The first thing is obviously it differentiates us against the left. It shows, you know, that's what sabotage looks like. What ours was an inquiry. So if there is any ambiguity, there it is, right? But in the second place, you have to look at what's happening with the left and think about the establishment's reaction to this. Again, Ann Coulter is maybe a bad example because she is not establishment. She's actually pretty cool. I was reading in one of these articles about all the protests, they put one of her quotes from one of her articles, I think in 2007, so over 10 years ago, but probably to make her look bad to sort of justify or illustrate why these protests are happening. And so she said in 2007, quote, "One may assume the new majority will not be such compassionate overlords as the white majority has been," referring to the non-white new majority. She says, "If this sort of drastic change were legally imposed on any group other than white Americans, it would be called genocide. Yet whites are called racists merely for mentioning the fact that current immigration law is intentionally designed to reduce their percentage in the population." Very true, very based. You know, this is hardly any different from anything that I say on a daily basis or anything that the Groypers are talking about in these Q&A sessions. I don't think she's as explicit anymore, but all of this is to say she's not exactly an establishment figure. If anything, she's one of us. You know, she's more one of our guys, right? Or one of our Groypers, so to speak. But in any case, you see these protests from the left, and my observation is, look at what happens to Ann Coulter. Is there any rebuttal or response from Conservative Inc. that even comes close to the response that they had to us? Right? Like at OSU, when we asked our questions, we asked a dozen questions, and I hate to keep harping on it, but it is sort of interesting when you had this go on last night and we see left-wing demonstrations at a right-wing event. When we went to OSU and we did our questions, the next day it was blitzkrieg. It was a total blitz from Gorka and from Benny Johnson and from everybody across the board, and it continued for weeks. And they called for us to deplatform. They called for us to be doxxed. In some cases, they helped Antifa dox us. You know, they show up with the television and unveil it with the napkin, right? And they're posting the clips, and it's, right, hit pieces nonstop for weeks. So you see how they respond to us, which, as I said, is much more appropriate than the left. Then you see Antifa, they're getting arrested. They're ripping up people's tickets, preventing people from entering into the building. And we hear nothing. And we hear nothing from Conservative Inc. We don't see a hit piece. We don't see any kind of muscular offense or anything like that. And it's not like this is anything new. Point being, the left has been doing this for years. The left has been getting worse. They've been getting more militant. They've been getting more violent. And these people, if they even get inside the venue, are welcomed. If they show up to the Q&A, the speakers will say, "Thanks so much for coming. And you're really brave for coming in here and disagreeing with us. That's what America's all about. Can I answer your question now?" And these people are terrible. These people hate us. They want to kill us. And they get that kind of response. And even the worst elements that are outside, militant, getting arrested, fist fighting and all that, we don't hear anything. And all of this is to say the only answer to the left, which is aggressive, militant, radical, all that, is the Groyper. That's the only thing. These people on the inside talking about the free market, and again, it's not Ann Coulter, but we're speaking generally. People talking about the free market and small government and whatever, it's not going to come close to what we need to push these people back. You know, I was just talking this afternoon, and this is the last thing I'll say. I was just talking this afternoon to a lot of the Groyper friends and the Groyper Twitter DM group, and we were reminiscing about what life was like before all the pause. Reminiscing about, because it was a distinct time in my life that I remember, before there was all this just total social programming from advertisements, from Hollywood, from television. I mean, don't get me wrong, there was never a time when there wasn't social programming, but I mean, I remember a time when you could have a white, male, straight protagonist in a show, and he wasn't a bumbling doofus, he wasn't an idiot. You know, I remember a time when there wasn't just the constant promotion of interracial relationships, homosexuality, transgenderism. There wasn't the constant pandering to all these different groups. You know, there was a report the other week where it said that some gay lobbying group demanded that 20% of primetime network fictional sitcom characters would be gay by 2020. 20%. You know, so point being, I think we all remember distinctly 10, maybe 15 years ago before all this, and we all agreed, and I think a lot of people my generation would relate to this, that it was so quickly, how quickly the paradigm changed, how quickly the tides turned, how it went from seemingly, I mean, obviously there was, like I said, still some stuff, there was PC and everything, but how quickly it went from normative, normal Christian society in maybe a span of 5 to 10 years to extreme gender ideology, extreme sexual deviancy, extreme, you know, social programming about gender and race and all this. It happened in like 5 to 10 years. You know, again, I'm not saying the 2000s were like, that was like the golden age of you know, conservatism, but I am saying that obviously it became distinctly different sometime around 2010. Point being, with this trajectory going so quickly and so far in the wrong direction, the only thing that's going to answer that is us. We are the reckoning for the right. But anyway, I know we've talked about that for the past like 4 weeks, so I don't want to spend too much time on that, but I would be remiss if I did not bring it up after that display last night. If that doesn't vindicate everything we've been saying on every count last night, the Antifa response to Ann Coulter, you know, I don't know what does. But we're going to move on. We're going to talk about our current events here, and we'll talk about this Democratic debate. Like I said, we covered this on D Live yesterday, and that's been the program. This was the fifth debate, but technically it was the seventh debate, because the first two debates, there were two rounds. If you remember, they did a debate in June. Yeah, it was June, where they had two rounds of 10 candidates each, and then they had a debate in July. Two rounds, 10 candidates each. They had a debate, which was one round in September, one round in October, and now one round in November. So in total, it was 7 nights of debates, 5 rounds, I guess you could say, two debates, including 2 rounds, and then 3 that are, you know, just 1 round. Well, that was needlessly complicated. But in any case, we covered the 7th debate yesterday, and it was the worst one so far. And when I say it was the worst one, what I mean is, obviously, the substance in all these debates is terrible. I thought it was going to be fun. When I first started covering these, I thought it would be, we're getting back into the spirit of the election, and there'll be a lot of attention on the debates. A lot of people want to watch these. And just every debate after the first one has just been demoralizing, grueling, just painful, like psychologically painful. And again, like I said, it's not entirely because of the substance. Like, to an extent, you expect that the substance of these debates is going to be obviously radical, progressive, left-wing, and that makes it frustrating to cover, you know, because you have to sit through and listen to 2 to 3 hours of, you know, Medicare for all and climate change is the worst and we need abortions for transgender people. You know, Julian Castro said that at one point. But it's not only that, it's that it's every debate is exactly the same. And this one, more than all the others put together, it was the same questions, the same exact talking points, the same exchanges, the same jokes. And this is why I didn't even do a show about it last night. There was just simply nothing else to say other than it was a rerun of the debate in October and December. It was the exact same. Last night, there were 10 candidates in the debate, down from 12 in October. It was Klobuchar, Booker, Warren, Yang, Harris, Joe Biden, Bernie Sanders, Pete Buttigieg, Tom Steyer, and Tulsi Gabbard. And it was, again, painfully boring. I don't know what was going on in the auditorium where they were holding it, but it seemed like the audience was reprimanded hardcore before they even started, because in previous debates, you would have some kind of audience reaction, applause, obviously, you know, booing, laughing, you know, just to give you the sense that there even is a live audience. In this debate last night, it was just like silent the whole time, even when there should have been. I mean, there were occasional applause and sort of muted reactions here and there, but there were these people, you know, like I distinctly remember one point, I think it was in her opening statement, Harris said something like, you know, let's be clear, the man in the White House is a criminal. And there was sort of a beat where I'm sure she was expecting some kind of reaction, but there was just nothing. And so it felt to me almost uncanny. It felt like sort of strange, like it was this Twilight Zone debate where is there even a live audience here? You know, so there was no energy from the audience. The contestants, you know, the challengers, opponents, whatever you want to call them, they were repeating all the same talking points. I will say there were some interesting moments, maybe the only interesting moments of the debate. There was obviously a notable exchange between Tulsi Gabbard and Pete Buttigieg. Tulsi Gabbard, I thought, did better last night. But again, I think she's hopeless. I think she's not, you know, everybody on our side has been sort of fixating on either one of two people, Andrew Yang or Tulsi Gabbard. And we did the Yang Gang thing on the show for a time, and he became cringe. He became like the rest of them. I've talked about that at length. But a lot of people have been standing Tulsi Gabbard. And in my coverage of the first debate, I said she did terrible. You know, she's very uncharismatic, poor public speaker, not a very compelling candidate. And people retorted with the fact that, well, after the first debate, she was the most Googled candidate. And she won the Drudge Report online poll after the debate. And that shows that she's the dark horse. She's going to run away with it. And so I was watching the debate last night. And, you know, she did better than her previous performances. Last month when we did the October debate, I mean, I really gave her a hard time because I thought she really choked. I mean, she was not a good public speaker. She fumbled a lot of her statements. She didn't get a lot of talking time. When she was talking, she did a bad job. Last night, she did better. I thought she picked this fight with Pete Buttigieg, and she was much more on point on the issues. What I've been saying about Tulsi is that her strength is that she's a veteran, and she distinguishes herself from the field in that she is anti-war, unlike everybody else. Everybody else is decidedly pro-war. She is opposed to regime change. Her whole deal is that, you know, she's this veteran that came home and now wants to bring the rest of the troops home, wants to get America outside of the Middle East. And so she picked a fight with Buttigieg on foreign policy, and the exchange went okay. I don't want to say that she won or he won. I think it was kind of a stalemate. But I will say that beyond all of this, I have to wonder who she's trying to appeal to. For all the people that like Tulsi Gabbard, and I am going to provoke you, a lot of people in my audience do like her, and they get mad at me when I say this, but I'm going to give you a hard time because you're wrong. Who does she think she's appealing to in this party? She gets on the stage every time, and she does nothing but slam Clinton and the Democratic Party, and that's just not what, I mean, she's running for the Democratic nomination. Don't you understand that? So I'm watching her strategy last night, and I'm thinking, in some ways, this is appealing to me. You know, talking about the Bush, Clinton, Trump foreign policy and being opposed to regime change and naming the military-industrial complex and so on. And so in some small ways, I think, okay, well, this message resonates with me a little bit, but I'm a reactionary. I'm a far-right Trump supporter, ride or die, I campaign for Trump, all that. So if she's trying to appeal, in other words, to me or to people that watch this show, what is she doing on the Democratic stage? She's not running for the nomination for the Groiper Party or for the Libertarian Party, or for the Conservative Republican Party. She's running for the Progressive Liberal Democrat Party, and she's on the stage saying that she would talk to Bashar al-Assad, and Hillary Clinton is corrupt, and she's everything wrong with the party, and so on. And maybe that would work if in the Democratic Party you had a similar spirit or a similar ethos of being anti-establishment like you do on the right. In other words, you know, Donald Trump came on the stage in the Republican primary in 2016, and he challenged the Republican Party, and he challenged some of the figureheads like Bush and like Romney and some of these other people, John McCain. And it worked because, in many ways, he was this inheritor or successor to the Tea Party or to other movements in the Republican Party that were anti-establishment, that were grassroots, nationalist, you know, more conservative. This is something that's been brewing on the right for like two decades since the turn of this century. On the Democrat side, you don't have that, obviously, right? On the Democrat side, there is no comparable idea of opposing the party, rising up, challenging the establishment. That just doesn't exist there. I mean, Bernie Sanders did that a little bit in 2016, but then what happened? He dutifully lined up behind Hillary Clinton, endorsed her when she was running in the general, even though he got cheated out of the nomination. And that is what we're working with here. So, you know, if she were trying to make this anti-establishment angle work in the Democratic Party, it doesn't make sense to begin with, because the Democratic Party's whole strategy is they're united, they have this front where, you know, they don't really infight with each other. And it would be catastrophic if that even started. And then, you know, even if she was trying to be anti-establishment, it wouldn't work because she's appealing to right-wing people and libertarians, right? You know, it would make sense in perhaps one vein if, you know, maybe anti-establishment isn't the mood right now. Maybe that's not a viable strategy for this election. But you could see it if she was a progressive. You could see it if she was some kind of woke anti-white liberal, right? Like Bernie Sanders, or like, to a lesser extent, Elizabeth Warren, or even Julian Castro, I would say. If she were opposing the establishment, but exploiting these existing cleavages about ideology, you know, she what would you say, saddled up with the progressives, or she sided with, you know, Hispanics or some minority voting bloc, that would be one thing. But she's pursuing the anti-establishment angle from a right-wing angle. It doesn't make any sense to me. So I thought that was maybe the most notable exchange of the night was her and Buttigieg. But I even saw that and I'm thinking, you know, even if she, and I do think she made more sense than Buttigieg. I think that she did make the more compelling argument. But what difference does it make? Pete Buttigieg is up there saying, well, you know, Trump met with Kim Jong-un just like you met with Bashar al-Assad. And all the liberals that they're vying for their votes are going to eat that up. And that's what matters in the Democratic primary is the Democratic voters. So I thought that was interesting. And then the only other thing was Joe Biden just completely failed last night. Just like multiple high level gaffes. I mean, he obviously is not all the way there. He hasn't been for the whole election season. Being forgetful. His performances have been shaky. He kind of starts out strong and then peters out towards the end, kind of forgets where he is. He tends to make mistakes when he's talking. Either he, you know, he chooses the wrong words or something, but tonight or last night, it was just horrible. You know, to me, the funniest moment of the night was he was talking about domestic abuse. And he said about domestic abuse that we just have to keep punching at it and punching at it and punching at it, referring to the problem of domestic abuse. The audience laughed. I could see Kamala Harris on the stage, couldn't contain herself. I couldn't stop laughing. You know, talking about domestic abuse, probably a very poor choice of words to say you're going to be punching the issue, right? He said that he was endorsed by the only black female senator in the U.S. Senate, when he really meant the first black woman senator, because of course Kamala Harris did not endorse him. She's on the stage and she's, you know, not the only black female senator. So he made that big mistake. Everybody laughed at him. He looked very upset about that. And then Cory Booker called him out on his support for marijuana, or rather, Cory Booker called him out for not being in support of marijuana being legalized. And the room laughed at him. And Cory Booker scored a few points on him, so I thought it was a pretty rough night for Joe Biden. All this is to say, you know what, the debates really don't even matter. I have to say the debates that I've seen, and I've seen all seven of them, I've watched all of them, and you've seen me react to them, they really are not changing the equation. You know, the rules of this race seem to me to be that Joe Biden just really never loses, in the sense that no matter what he does, no matter what he says, he remains the front runner. And it was the trend last month that Elizabeth Warren was surging against him, and in some polls was matching him in some of the battleground states, in some states, and in some polls even exceeding him, overtaking him for the lead. But since then, she's fallen a little bit. She's stagnated. And Joe Biden remains on top. You know, no matter what happens to this guy, it doesn't matter what the gaffe is, what he says, it doesn't matter who says what or does what, even when a candidate blows up, like Pete Buttigieg really blew up, I think, in like May, never came close to Joe Biden in the polling. Andrew Yang had a little bit of buzz going. He never passed like 5%, you know? So Joe Biden has just been staying at the top no matter what. The other trend is that Elizabeth Warren has been rising. She looks to be like the runner-up, or, clearly she's the only one that is within striking distance that could challenge Joe Biden for the nomination, but she has yet to really capitalize on that and become the front-runner. Bernie Sanders has been stagnating. Buttigieg has been consolidating a little bit in Iowa, but the polling has basically been the same and fundamentally unchanged by the debates. So I even question at this point if it's worth watching them. You know, I'll probably tune in December just for the fun of it, you know, not like they're fun, but just because we've made it this far, we've seen seven, might as well finish out the series, right? I think there's only going to be, I think there's supposed to be like 10 more, like seven more. So we only are about halfway. But in any case, I wonder how useful it is to even watch these things when it seems like they don't change the polling, they don't really change any of the outcomes in the race, they don't change them in the battleground states or nationally, and fundamentally nothing's even changing in terms of the inter-candidate dynamics, these interpersonal dynamics within the race. I've yet to see any real offensive open up. I've yet to see any real sort of demarcation between sides. I thought that would happen, and I've been saying for the last year, we can't predict how the primary is going to look until the debates happen and we get to see the candidates interact and see what the dynamics are like relationally or in terms of relationships between the candidates. But that hasn't happened. You know, it's like you'll have one candidate seize an opportunity and they'll do a small attack on the front runner. You know, like in the last debate, a few people went after Elizabeth Warren and then nobody attacked her tonight. You know, in the first debate, Kamala Harris went after Joe Biden. And he got attacked, I think, in the other two debates in July and then in September. But nothing really came of it. You know, all of this is to say, the only times when candidates seem to interact with each other or target each other or try to contrast against each other, it seems to be very limited and very shy. You know, it's like a candidate will go after the front runner and then back off. You know, they'll try it. They'll see it's not like 100% viable and then they back off. So I've yet to see like a prominent feud, for example, break out. I've yet to see that, you know, two candidates are making themselves, you know, maybe these two sides of the argument, maybe a little bit with healthcare, but not really in a holistic way. You know, I was expecting, for example, that one candidate would rise up and they would be the establishment guy or the more moderate liberal, and one would rise up as the anti-establishment progressive. I was thinking maybe that would be Joe Biden and Bernie Sanders, or maybe Joe Biden and Elizabeth Warren. But it seems to have not happened yet. It doesn't seem like that is really consolidated yet. So to me, the race is really hardly any different than it was in the beginning, other than that all the people that were never going to win have dropped out. So it's meaningfully not any different from when we started in June. And that's why I didn't even want to talk about it last night. But, you know, there's your analysis. The more things change, the more they stay the same in the Democratic primary. We're going to move on. We're going to talk about impeachment a little bit. Oh, and, you know, like I said, I've been avoiding this topic for months now. Because to me, like the Democratic debates, like the primary contests, it is all political theater. I have been a believer that from the beginning, the fix is in. The Democrats are going to do what they're going to do. And all this tedium, all this minutiae is really no different than a soap opera, right? Does it really matter at the end of the day who called who on the phone and what the law says? We know what this is about. It's the same thing that the Russia scandal was about. It's the same thing that the Stormy Daniels thing was about, or the popular vote thing, and the electors, if you even remember that one, the night after the election, people saying, well, you know, these electors in the states can still pull votes from Trump. And it is a rejection by the Democrats of the outcome in 2016. That's all this is. As people have been saying, it is a coup. And that's maybe a dramatic way to put it, although I think it is accurate to say it's a coup. But it is. They are trying to overturn the results of the 2016 election. That's what it's been from the beginning. You know, they're trying everything in the book, whether it's indictments, investigations, hearings, scandals, you know, every trick in the book, even the, what is it, the 25th Amendment to the Constitution, to try to delegitimize the president, remove him from office, shame him into resigning, something like that. And so to me, that's why it's fundamentally unimportant, all the specifics. All the specifics really don't matter. What matters is that, you know, this coalition of Democrats and some willing Republicans are trying to push this guy out of office because he represents, in some ways, a real challenge to the status quo. Obviously, maybe that's a little bit more in terms of tone and style than substance in a lot of cases, but that's basically what's been going on. But we do have an update for you on where this is headed, what the next steps are. This is from Fox News. It says, abuse of power, bribery, contempt of Congress, and obstruction of justice are the four potential articles of impeachment that House Judiciary Committee Democrats could draw up against President Trump as soon as next month. Fox News is told, after all scheduled public hearings before the House Intelligence Committee wrapped up on a testy note on Thursday. At a meeting with top GOP senators and Trump administration officials at the White House on Thursday afternoon, Fox News is told there was a consensus that should Trump be impeached by the House, the GOP-controlled Senate should hold a trial rather than tabling the issue. Reports have surfaced that Republicans were considering even holding a long trial to disrupt the 2020 presidential primaries. Several Democrats seeking to unseat Trump, including Kamala Harris, Amy Klobuchar, Elizabeth Warren, and Bernie Sanders, are senators who would need to divert at least some of their campaigning time toward a potential trial in the Senate. It remained possible that the House Intelligence Committee could schedule more hearings, although no additional hearings are expected during Thanksgiving week, or the committee could prepare a report on its findings for the House Judiciary Committee, which would have the option of holding its own hearings, or simply drafting articles of impeachment outright. And this is riveting stuff. This is very important high-level stuff, very important details here. People are paid a lot of money to talk about this. People are paid a lot of money to be experts on this and go on Fox and, well, you know, the hearings have wrapped up, but you know what they can do tomorrow? Tomorrow they can do this, or they could just do this other. So who cares? None of this matters. It's all fake. Anyway, the article goes on. It says, a possible timetable for impeachment has been unclear. It's generally thought the Judiciary Committee may hold a markup, one of these markups, in which it writes articles of impeachment in mid-December. If that were to happen, it's possible the full House could vote on articles of impeachment sometime close to Christmas. That would be a similar time frame to the impeachment of former President Bill Clinton. The House impeached Clinton just before Christmas in 1998. The Senate trial then began in January 1999. So it's just like the other one. Yeah, so sort of like Clinton. Yeah, just a little nugget there, a little trivia for you. However, the House theoretically could pass. Okay, but they could theoretically pass the articles of impeachment, but delay a vote to send them to the Senate for consideration. Yeah, that's another thing that could happen. Perhaps to delay handing Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell control over the proceedings. So as you can tell from this article, we've got a lot of options here, you know, hearings and votes and strategy and trials and all this. And, you know, I scratch my head and it's the mainstream media talking about trials and hearings and things. And I'm just trying to game, for God's sakes. I'm just trying to stream on DLive. You know, I guess we'll see what happens with this. You know, they are in the process of drafting the articles. As the article says, there are no more scheduled hearings. To me, the whole thing seems very cut and dry. I don't know why we need all this, all these details and overcomplicate the matter. To me, we figured this out like when it broke in August, was it? Was it August or September? Time moves so quickly. Was it September? I don't even remember when this whole thing began. It's all just a big blur to me. But it seems very cut and dry that the president called up the Ukrainian president and he said, can you investigate Hunter Biden? And maybe if you do, well, then we'll give you the military aid that we promised. And to me, it's pretty simple. We have the transcript of the call. If that's what the whole thing is about, well, then let's just look at the transcript. In the transcript, there isn't any explicit mention of a quid pro quo. They don't talk about a deal, you know, a foreign aid for investigation, right? There is a mention of foreign aid, and also there is a mention of Hunter Biden in the phone call, but it appears that there's no relation to either, and the foreign aid question isn't even discussed at length. So to me, I'll look at the transcript, and obviously we have this whistleblower complaint, whistleblower who it seems like wasn't even privy to the conversation and doesn't even really know what's going on. How is it more complicated than that? You know, as with the Russia investigation, it really is, if you look at these articles they're trying to draft, which I said at the top of this article, bribery, contempt of Congress, abuse of power, and obstruction of justice, all of these charges, with the exception of bribery, are made up. They're all pertaining to the investigation of the charge itself, right? In other words, you've got the actual incident, which is so nothing, which is so insignificant. It's a phone call. You know, there's no smoking gun. If there was a deal proposed, it didn't go through. They have a call, which we have the transcript of, where it's not even explicit that a crime was committed or there was even an intention of a crime being committed. So we have the actual thing. We have the actual thing in itself, which you could say might constitute bribery. I think that's absurd and ridiculous. But if he got charged or indicted for that phone call, that charge would be bribery. Everything else is pertaining to the investigation of this nothing charge or nothing indictment. Obstruction of justice, contempt of Congress, abuse of power. To me, abuse of power is sort of half bribery, half the other stuff. All the rest is pursuant to the investigation itself. It's just like with Russia, where they said, well, you know, maybe Trump didn't collude with Russia, but he obstructed the investigation into his non-collusion with Russia, into the crime that he didn't commit. How can you charge somebody for obstruction of justice if there was no crime? He obstructed an investigation into a crime that wasn't committed. Do you understand? You know, so to me, it's almost like the bureaucratic element, the bureaucratic minutiae, the tedium becomes the story in itself. You know, so under all these layers of documents and hearings and endless statements and endless coverage and all this is a tiny, tiny kernel of a story, right? Which is the phone call, which we covered months ago. But since then, we've just been buried in all these details, all this shit, all this garbage, to the point where now they're charging him on the garbage itself. Well, you know, on a strictly like legalistic procedural level, you know, he didn't comply with the proper regulations while they're looking into the phone call. And all this is to say, what is this meant to do? To me, it's simply just meant to distract. If I were the president, and it's tough because there's obviously a tactical agenda here in the sense that, you know, part of why the Democrats are doing this is not simply to distract the people, but also to distract the president and to bog down the president. Back during the midterms, I said the night of the midterms that this would be the worst consequence of the Democratic majority in the House of Representatives. Because obviously, there's been gridlock in Congress because Republicans have the Senate and Democrats have the House. So the worst part about them winning the House was not that bills were going to get passed that are liberal, because we've got the Republican Senate, and it's not even that there would even be that much gridlock, because it was gridlocked before the midterms. Republicans were struggling to pass even the most basic Republican agenda, you know, when they had majorities in both chambers, you know, the tax bill, repealing Obamacare, they couldn't even do, right? So it wasn't the gridlock that I was worried about or the possibility that Democrats would pass their agenda. It was stuff like this. And it wasn't even that investigations would deliver indictments or charges, but that if they got in control of the House, they could just simply run out the clock until the next election, right? In other words, they could bog this administration down so much in this kind of crap, whether it be Russia or Ukraine, but just one after the other, bind the hands of the administration, bind the hands of the president and the cabinet and everybody in the White House with all this kind of stuff, with all this red tape. And if they make a wrong move, then it's obstruction of justice charges or tampering or whatever, so that the only thing that we can focus on is this, you know, this kind of partisan nonsense instead of immigration, foreign policy, trade, the economy. You know, so to me, this is just like a big gambit by the Democrats to basically just, you know, and forgive the language, but just to shit up the system, just to clog the pipes, shut everything down, make it so that nobody can make any moves, so that when 2020 comes around, they can say, look, Trump didn't do anything, and look, Trump has been embroiled in this, you know, made-up scandal. So that's why I haven't really been covering it, because to me, it's all fake. It's all fake. It's all partisan hackery. And that's why people have to sort of get out of this shackled thinking, out of the shackled mindset of honing in and fixating on these partisan personalities. You know, it is painful to me that because I talk about politics, I am lumped into the same category as somebody like Sean Hannity, who will come on the air every night and talk about Nancy Pelosi and Mitch McConnell, Nancy Pelosi and Kevin McCarthy and crying Chuck Schumer. I mean, like, you understand these people don't control anything? Do you understand that Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer, these are characters in a soap opera? It's like WWE. It's like professional wrestling and talking about these wrestlers. You know, when I used to watch professional wrestling, I would scour the internet, even sometimes a newspaper, for somebody to report on what was happening. There used to be a small column sometimes at the bottom of the sports section about WWE and what happened to the pay-per-view events. And of course, it's absurd. A lot of that doesn't exist, because to commentate and analyze on something that is fake and staged and the outcome is decided before the actual wrestling matches happen is retarded. It's retarded, you know, to type up a report and say, well, you know, Randy Orton's got that injured knee and, you know, John Cena's going to beat him in the, right? And it's the same way with partisan politics. It's the exact same thing. For people to go on the air every night and participate in this game, you know, let's talk about what's really happening. Let's talk about the much deeper trends here. Let's talk about imports and exports. Let's talk about, you know, naval ports. Let's talk about military movements. Let's talk about demographics, even to an extent, electoral changes or demographic changes on the ground, right? Things that I talk about on the show. So I say I hate being lumped in with Sean Hannity, not because I don't like Sean Hannity, but almost every night on this show, I'm talking about, you know, this is the transformative thing happening to the country. These are the real movers, the real forces undergirding politics. And Sean Hannity comes on every night and says, can you believe what Chuck Schumer said? And, you know, fill me in on why Chuck Schumer's a Democrat. And to me, this epitomizes that so much. It's like the World Series of, it's just the series finale, the, it's the 2-week season finale, season finale of this Trump and Democrat soap opera. It's all so ridiculous. You know, to me, the bigger question is, why are there still 0 miles of border wall being constructed, right? What's going on with the Paris Climate Accords? There was a report that came out a couple of weeks ago that said we're still not out. They're drafting the paperwork to be passed out through an executive order, I think, next year to pull us out of the Paris Climate Accords. You know, so I'm thinking about things like that, and we're focusing on, he said, Zelensky said this, the whistleblower said that. Why can't we say his name? Roger Stone got locked up, blah, blah, blah. So anyway, that's why I generally refrain from it, but that's where it's going. Where will it go next? You know, tune in tomorrow. Will the Republicans table it in the Senate, or will they open it up to a trial? And oh, you can bet all these journalists, all these self-important hacks in D.C., are going to be in there, super serious, super dramatic, detailing every sentence, every drink of water, every note written down, every facial tick of these hearings. It's so dramatic. It's so important. I won't be one of those people. I will not be one of those people. I would sooner quit and become a professional Fortnite streamer. That would be more important and meaningful than what's going on here, right? But anyway, that's impeachment. We'll see what happens. Hopefully tomorrow we'll have... Hopefully, we got to keep using this. When I say the news is boring, it seems to be that things start on fire, things happen. So hopefully tomorrow we can be the news again, or maybe we could cover some kind of catastrophe in the world, because this isn't cutting it. But we're going to take a look at our super chats. We'll see what you guys are saying about all this. That is my general sentiment about impeachment. I just want it to all be over at this point. The whole thing just needs to come down. I want Trump to just say, you know what, F it. I just want a big military rally in Capitol Hill, and we're just going to start taking over the government. I wish everything they said about Trump was true. You know, they said that Trump was going to take over the government, and he's abusing his power, and he's consolidating control over Washington, and his grip, his tentacles are everywhere. I wish that would happen, right? But it's not. It's the same managerial, bureaucratic, democratic nonsense that we've had for like 3 decades, and probably longer. But let's see, we've got Mr. Corgi, who says, Nick, are you melted Swiss cheese with roasted mushrooms and caramelized onions? Because, wow, you're hot stuff. Thanks. That's a pretty good pickup line. I'll have to use that. Next time I go to, I don't know, where I even try to pick people up. Maybe next time I go to CPAC, I'll see Kathy Zhu, right? Or I'll see, it'd be a little bit weird if I said it to Michelle Malkin. But I'd go up to Kathy Zhu, maybe, and I'd be like, hey, Kathy. I go up to, well, not Ashley St. Clair, because Ashley St. Clair is Jewish. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but, you know, I'm Catholic, so it doesn't really work. But I go up to Kathy and say, hey, Kathy, are you melted Swiss cheese with roasted mushrooms and caramelized onions? Because, damn, you're hot stuff, you know? Maybe I'll say that to, I don't know, who else is in these circles? No e-girls, right? So I guess I couldn't say it to her. I'd say it ironically to her. And then I do a Fortnite dance. I say, psych. James Russell says, butt plug be like her, you like Assad, Tulsi. Yes. Okay, really low effort meme there. Mr. ROC says, fire rises, hope it spreads to Europe, we need it. Yeah, well, maybe you guys can stop being cucked and paused and take after the America First movement a little bit. Anon says, so wake up the members of my nation, it's your time to be. There's no chance unless you take one. Some things are meant to be, so give your best and leave the rest to me. Okay, so we've got the iCarly theme song in chat. Thanks for that. Michael says, Benny Johnson was really going after you the other day. An angry, triggered sodomite. What's new? Yeah, it's more of the same. That guy is a sodomite too, by the way. I think the only reason he hasn't sent me like a cease and desist letter is because it's true, and he knows it's true, and I know it's true. But yeah, the guy's a total freak, total loser. I see that guy and he's just so pathetic. I can't imagine being him, you know, to just be like this BuzzFeed dork. Who could work for a guy like that? Who could be in Turning Point USA and say, well, these Groybers are, they're racist. Right, Benny? Right, Benny Johnson? You know, Benny Johnson saying, Nick Fuentes is racist. He's a Holocaust denier. Yeah, it's funny, bitch. We're funny. We're epic. It's hilarious. I'm done disavowing. There's no more disavow. Not like I ever disavowed anything, but we're not playing the disavowal game. Everything I've ever said is funny and epic and totally true. So, Nick Fuentes is an anti-Semite. Nick Fuentes called women bitches and whores. Yeah, what about it, faggot? So, yeah, that's my sentiment towards that. Let's see. William says, keep up the good work. Thanks. Heinrich says, Mommy Tulsi going full Adams Family with the gray streak in her hair. Getting hotter with each debate, though. They're putting more makeup on her. Yeah, last night it was just caked on. Hello, cake department. And not like the ass cake, like the caked on makeup department. Hello, is this the cake department? Oh, no. I'm looking for the other cake department. I called the wrong extension. I was looking for the caked up on makeup department, not the other one. Not the POG department. Yeah, I must have gotten the wrong extension. So, yeah, the makeup to me is not a great look. I think she's actually been getting worse. I feel like she looked really good in one of the earlier debates. And last night, I didn't think she was looking so good. The hair was a little, it looked like, I don't know. Ethnic people, their hair sometimes looks kind of like thick. It has like this jungle quality to it. You know what I mean? Where I feel like if you're, I don't know if it's a white thing or if it's a rich thing, but I don't know that much about hair. You know, I just shampoo mine every other day, and I don't really know that much about it. But do you know what I mean? Where ethnic people who have that, like, dark hair, it kind of gets, like, frizzy, or I don't know what the quality of it is, but it just kind of looked like not together. It didn't have that sheen. It didn't look smooth. It didn't look like it was conditioned, you know? It looked kind of, like, frizzy, and I don't know, maybe a little bit. It looked like she was from the wild thornberries, and we discovered her in the jungle of Hawaii. How does she say? She's just like Hawaii or something. So the hair was a little weird. The gray streak, that was kind of MILF energy. A little MILF energy. She had a little gray streak in there. Not going to lie, I mean, there is an energy like that, but I don't think she was looking that great. And she recycled that outfit from the first debate, that white-on-white suit. Not that it's not a good look, but she did recycle that one. Anyway, William Wong says America First. Yep, that's the show. Nico says, it's 2019. Benny Johnson Fortnite dances and says the left can't meme. At this rate, maybe we'll see Turning Point free helicopter ride shirts. Free helicopter ride shirts after the 2020 election. Yeah, I doubt it, but we'll see. I don't really have lots to work with that one. Inner City Democrat says, Wignats be like, LOL, you're still voting for Trump? The Republican Party sucks. Vote for anti-white Democrat who wants to get rid of them like a boss? Well, yeah, I mean, if you saw the debate last night, the candidates were asked explicitly, what would you do about so-called white supremacists? And they've all got a plan. You know, it's take your guns, ban you online, you know, investigate you by the FBI. So it's like, and when I say, I don't mean to say we identify as white supremacists, but you know how they overapply that label to everybody under the sun. So voting for anybody except for Trump brings immediate and bad consequences for us and what we're trying to do. So yeah, there's no excuse to not vote for Trump. Asher says, is Apple taking over Austin with new factories? I don't know anything about that. Super Mega says, when can we expect the Hamburger Man comic to hit the shelves? Yeah, so I guess you were watching my D live stream yesterday. Probably never. Anti-Root says, from one Persian to another, Sohrab treating you the way he did because you use satire the same way we have done so to avoid getting deplatformed and killed across history was absolutely disgraceful. Yeah, I mean, the guy's pathetic. In every case, all these people attacking me are not smart and they're not talented. Like, this Sohrab Amari is his name. You know, whatever. You could say what you want about the guy. Oh, wow, you're so brave. What did he say about me? He said, oh, Nick Fuentes is a snot-nosed brat. And look at him grinning while he denies the Holocaust. It's evil. It's an evil smirk. Oh, okay, dude. You know, aside from this dramatic and really brave stand he's taking against me about my joke, right? Aside from that, it's like, this guy is just a talentless hack. This guy is totally irrelevant and a pussy. You know, this guy was supposed to be, he was supposed to be the defender of trad conservatism and trad Catholicism. And he gets raped by David French in a debate. David French, of all people. David French, who's like a literal cuckold, okay? Literally one of the weakest, saddest, most pathetic people in Washington, D.C. And this guy whipped his ass in a debate. You know, he, and Sohrab and David French, I don't know if you remember this, but all these like political yuppies, all these like National Review types hyped this thing up for months. Well, did you read Sohrab's article about David Frenchism and whatever, the American fag? Oh my gosh, it was so interesting. David French responded in National Review. You know, I hate these people. And, you know, no offense, I know a lot of them, but I hate them. These people that sit around and, oh, what, like, is that what they do for a living? It's just like sit around and flip through magazines and say like, wow, this is so interesting. What a fascinating take on the American founding. What a fascinating take on classical liberalism. And, you know, let's sit around. It's like this National Review brain cancer for yuppie, you know, political junkie types. Anyway, so all these people were hyping up this debate, David French versus Amari, and Amari was hyping it up. Oh, I'm trad. I'm you know, this muscular Catholic conservatism. He shows up to the debate, and he chokes. Terrible at public speaking, terrible at debating, and, you know, and he didn't even defend his own arguments. So it's funny because These people are like twice my age. They're professionals. They're more educated than me and all this. They're so super serious. And I'm more talented than all of them. I'm more talented, more charismatic. I'm smarter and more courageous than all of them put together. And I don't mean that to brag about myself. I don't mean that in like an arrogant way. But I just mean that in an obviously true way. I just mean that in a completely, an objectively factual way. That if you, and I did, because this guy attacked me and I was like, wasn't that guy that lost the debate to David French? And I scrolled through this debate with him and French, and these guys got to be like the least charismatic, least interesting intellectuals that the right has to offer. It's no wonder they're coming after me, because we're the first interesting thing to happen since Donald Trump. You know, and I'm not comparing myself to Donald Trump, but I'm saying we're the first interesting thing to happen in the right wing, truly dissident, truly anti-establishment thing to happen in a few years. The most exciting thing. And that's why they have to breathlessly condemn, because young people are, and even a lot of, you know, older people, by older I mean 30s, you know, even a lot of people like that are fleeing for the exits and they want to see what we're talking about, because we are offering something that is the real deal. It's actually right-wing. It's actually reactionary. It's delivered. The presentation is fresh, and it's funny, and it's interesting, as opposed to these crusty old boomers, you know, who get together in the, you know, the Gay Institute. Welcome to the Gay Institute, the Gay Intellectual Institute that nobody watches or reads, but is really, really important, you know, and they're going to sit with all these, you know, boomers in the audience with their legs crossed and talk about, I did this bit about, you know, have you read White Shift, you know, that kind of thing, and talk about, well, what is your working definition of classical liberalism? My working definition is, shut up, nerd, shut the fuck up, nobody cares. Apologies for the language, but I mean, that's my general sentiment towards these people. It's just a way overly inflated sense of self-importance when nobody even cares about these people. Nobody's reading their shit. It influences nobody. It's unimportant, irrelevant. Bunch of eggheads trying to impress themselves. So that's my take on Amari. I was waiting to go off on him a little bit. Nick Fuentes, snot-nosed brat, Nick Fuentes and his evil grand denying the Holocaust. Ooh, are you going to cry? Going to piss your pants? Going to shit? You know, really? So, you know, the American Conservative did an article about me, and it's like, Nick Fuentes is vile, and he's angry, and he's yelling and spewing on his show. Oh, die. Will you just die? You know? Anyway, so I could go on all day about these. I just hate that. It's a totally, and that's the difference, is I didn't grow up in the petri dish of Washington, D.C. I was not a intern, right, at ISI or what. And no shade. I know some of my good friends are sort of in that scene. I don't mean any shade to them. Those are good people. But you know what I'm talking about, the type. I didn't go up through, you know, I didn't graduate from Hillsdale University and, you know, intern on the Hill and, like, it's just not me. It's just not me. No shade. I know some people. I don't want to throw shade because I do know a lot of people like that in D.C. who are our guys and they're fighting good fight and they're groypers. So that makes it different. But you know the type I'm talking about. These kinds of like Washington Examiner, Red Alert Politics, 30 Under 30. What's that guy's name? Benji Bearbacker, you know, of the, you know, Green Environmental Coalition. These kinds of people. These are the ones that I'm talking about. They're the bane of my existence. So anyway, but let's move on. Asher says, who do we think will work there? Okay, I don't know what that means. Sartistic says, the American Conservative article about you today was hilarious. Quote, well, he actually has a point, but we get paid to say he is bad. We just need to keep punching at these people like Biden punches women in Fortnite. Yeah, the American Conservative article was, yeah, what was the guy's name? The guy's name was like Purple. Joe Purple, I think was his name, or something like that. And, yeah, the article was, like, just trashing me. The whole article was just trashing me, saying, I'm stupid, I have nothing of substance to say, I'm just my 15 minutes of fame, and I'm just this flash in the pan, young kid. You know, so the whole article is just trashing me. And then it says, well, you know, when he says that demographics isn't destiny and America isn't a propositional nation, well, he actually has a really good point there. And that's kind of the defining question of our times. So it's like, well, which is it then? Am I just the snot-nosed evil punk with the shit-eating grin? Yeah, sorry for having fun. I know we should all be, you know, humorless Heritage Foundation robots, you know, reading Russell Kirk and ordering books from ISI and jerking each other off, right? But yeah, you know, and he says in the middle of it, by the way, he also has a very good point. He's very prescient. I'm never reading the American Conservative again. They've been trashing me. They did two or three articles just trashing me. These people are spineless. They're saying most of the same things that I am. And then I actually get a little notoriety, or the Groypers do, and we start pushing these issues on Charlie Kirk and forcing them. And then they're going to turn around and, oh, but his style, his, you know, like Trump said, oh, but his tone, but his language. You know, that's what it is. These people at American Conservative, they write about, you know, how we need a return to traditional architecture and localism, and we need Catholicism, and we need to fight back against the left. And, you know, I read their articles. I get a lot of my inspiration from them. And then we try to mainstream their ideas. We try to push them out into the younger generation. And then they turn around and say, oh, but not like that. But not like that. That's very inappropriate. That's not cool. You can't say it like that. Okay, yeah. So thanks for nothing. Thanks for nothing, boomers. Boomers, man. Anyway, William says America first. Yep. Phillips says, hiya, Nicholas. Did you catch the video of that young Zoomer, Charles Robertson, giving a 7-minute class presentation about replacement theory? Keep it up, King. You're one in a billion, kiddo. Well, thanks. No, I did not see that. Charles Robertson. Doesn't look like a Zoomer to me. This TED Talk, is that what you're referring to? I don't know. I guess I'll have to look more into this after the show. No, I haven't seen that. Christopher says, I hate being on time to this show. Yeah, many such cases. Michael says, avoid violence and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes. 22 says, Epstein Corner is Jewish. Judge who jailed Assange, Jewish. Journalist who interviewed Prince Andrew, Jewish. Roger Stone, judge, Jewish. G. Sondland, Jewish. Statistically impossible if left to chance? I wouldn't say it's statistically impossible. But, yeah, I mean, it's worth noting. I don't know if that's the best example of it. You know, here's the thing that you gotta understand. Like, there's areas where you can point this out and it makes a lot of sense. Like, you know, media. Hello, New York Times and Viacom and Sumner Redstone and CBS. And okay, so there are certain areas where you can point it out and it's way more obvious than in other cases. To me, just saying like, oh, well, this one's Jewish and that, it's like, it's not, to just say that, oh, well, all these guys are Jewish does not demonstrate sufficiently a causal relationship. It does not succinctly say what you're trying to say, you know? So I tend to avoid these kinds of arguments, not simply because, or not because they're necessarily wrong, but because, you know, it's a very lazy, like, meme way of arguing. Oh, well, oh, this one and that one, coincidence? Like, that's not really, I mean, it is, okay, like, that's an interesting thing. You gotta wonder, why is that the case? But, you know, this is the kind of shit that I've been pushing back against for years. Not because there's not truth to it, but because it is lazy and it's not an argument, you know? Not an argument, kid. Well, this one, that one, and the other one, coincidence? Like, it's not really an argument. Now, what you could do is you could point out the overrepresentation of 2,000% in executive media positions. And you could say, how did that? I mean, that is something statistical. We've done the math on that. And it's also in positions of prominence. It's not just like, oh, a case here and a case there. And what are you really trying to point to? It's like, oh, he seems to be something going on here. Or Hollywood or something like that, right? So I would say that this is a very lazy, bad argument, sort of Wignat argumentation. I question if you're even, you know, if you even put that in here in good faith, if you're doing that just to discredit us, because it just doesn't really make any sense on the face of it. But, I mean, yeah, it's very interesting. Harbinger says, keep up the good optics, kid. Thanks. Gods in Heaven says, I had some good divorces in my life. I love spousal abuse and Satanist GFs. That is hot stuff. You can get that a number of different places. Yeah, we know who does that. Some asshole says, real sad to see you endorse the official story on that big number. Hope you're staying true, King. I don't know what you're talking about. If you're talking about the big H, then I disavow you. If you're denying that number, You know, I disavow. You know, maybe you want to go out and you want to reject the number, but I'm not going to do that. Me questioning the Big H in an unironic fashion, I wouldn't do that. Primarily because I don't want to get assassinated like, you know, other people that have done that, but also because the big number is true, okay? So he's saying, oh, he's saying, it's sad to see you endorse the official story. What do you think I'm going to do? Simply not endorse the official story? I don't want to get assassinated like that guy in France. I don't want to get my house burned down like the people that write the books. And also because it's obviously true. If it weren't true, why would they pass laws to make it illegal to question it? So, yeah, some asshole disavowed. This guy's clearly an anti-Semite. Ruin his career, ruin his job. I disavow that kind of thinking. We're breaking the conditioning, says, have some free super chats, thanks. Ron Sun says, did anyone else catch Amy Klobuchar literally vibrating throughout the whole debate? Yeah, I saw that. She's been doing that throughout all of the debates. I don't know if people are just catching on to that, but she did the shaking thing. I forget which one she started. I don't know if it was the first one, but I feel like I pointed out in the second debate that it was towards the end that, I mean, she was literally, and I kept saying, like, is she going to cry? Is she about to cry? Because she would literally, I mean, like you said, just start to vibrate. So, I don't know. To me, it seems like that's been going on throughout the whole race. So, I don't know if people are just noticing that now or was especially noticeable yesterday. To me, I saw it, and I think she's been doing that the whole time. But, yeah, I don't know. Is that Parkinson's? Is that maybe she's nervous? I don't know what that's all about. But, yeah, I noticed that. Lil Jesus says, sorry, no super chats in a minute. I was saving up for this deluxe $10 super chat. Well, thank you. I appreciate that. And, hey, great job on the Get Groiped song. Very, very epic song. You've been doing some great work, King. Great content. Tybor says, Nick, you still hitting the gym? No, I haven't. Since Politicon, I fell off. And I knew that was going to happen. But, you know, for what it's worth, it's just been so hectic with work and everything. There just literally isn't any time. You know, and that's just how it is. I used to say that before, and then things slowed down, and then I got back in the gym. But then things picked up very quickly, and I just don't have the time for it. So, probably once things slow down again, things are not going to slow down anytime soon. Honestly, it's like December's going to be very busy. January's going to be very busy. February's going to be busy. I'm going to be on the road in 2020. So, I don't know. I'm going to try my best, but it's not really my first priority. Sartistic says, who would win, Nick the Knife Fuentes or Joe Irish Sunglasses Biden, Lord of the Right Hook? That's a good question. Probably, I don't know. I think I have the height advantage on Joe Biden, of course. I'm 6'9", so I think I'm probably like half a foot taller than him or something. But, you know, old man, he's got that old man strength, and he beats up those, you know, troublemakers at the pool, like Popeye or what was that guy's name? Was it Popeye or was it, or Corn Pop? You know, he beats up Corn Pop and all the neighborhood kids. He must be pretty tough. So, I don't know. He might be a challenging opponent. C says, hey, Nick, you roasted me when I said add me to Groiper board. I meant add me to the tally sheet on the female side. Femoid be like, love Nick Fuentes. Oh, well, thanks for the clarification. Yeah, I'll add you to the tally of Femoid Groipers. Sure, why not? Yeah, Femoids love Nick Fuentes. What else is new? I have that sort of intangible quality that women love, which is, what would you say? It's confidence, charisma, virile masculinity. I couldn't put my finger on it, but it's true. Punished Huey says, can we get some love for Chicken McNuggets in here? Tired of the counter-signaling from all the Big Mac boys. No more McBrother Wars. No, I don't like Chicken McNuggets. I will never avow them. Well, never. They don't even taste good. Chicken McNuggets suck. They don't even taste like chicken nuggets. Have you ever noticed that? You get chicken tenders or chicken nuggets from Wendy's or Burger King or any other, even Chick-fil-A, and they taste like chicken. They taste like a chicken nugget. And at McDonald's, they taste like something entirely different. They taste something like completely different than all the other nuggets. I never liked them. They taste like shit. Sorry for the language, but it's true. So no, I'm not. You will get no love for the McNuggets on this show. First name, last name. Since is there going to be an America First Thanksgiving special? Would be a nice opportunity to red pill my extended family. No, I'm going to be with my family. Yeah, no. These people, just more. Always more content. Is there going to be... Are you going to do the show on Thanksgiving? Are you going to do the show on Christmas? No. Nick's Bodyguard says, why do 13% always cry during intercourse? Pepper spray. Kind of a weak, cringe joke. Oh, haha, I get it. Haha, I get it. That's not funny. Didn't laugh. Jeff says, on night shift at my blue-collar boomer job, and I finally get to catch the show live. Been on to America First since April and only wish I'd gotten here sooner. Much love from Birmingham, Alabama. Your future is bright, King. Well, thanks, buddy. Much appreciated. Much love to my blue-collar boomers out there. Blue-collar boomers are based in Red Pill. These white-collar boomers are a real problem, but blue-collar will always... we love those guys. T. Torchin says, Nick, the knife, he's sharp, he's on point, he's edgy, he's hard to handle, but he's balanced. He's got a thick spine, knows how to grind, forged by the rising fire and tempered with time. Ah, yeah. Well, that's very good. It's true. That's why the knife moniker works so well, I guess. And you've pointed out why it's so on point. Oatmeal Moment says, a longtime fan, first time super chatter, something something Swiss melted Swiss cheese, pee pee poo poo caramelized onions. Well, thanks. Yeah, that is a great first super chat. Your first foray into this realm is a success. Thanks for that. Josh says, up on the White House, down through the chimney with good Saint Nick. Okay, cringe fag super chat. SpongeBob Israel Pants says, okay, disavow. So SpongeBob Israel Pants says, here since Lauren Southern's Electric Boogaloo stream where you debated Theron Meyer, the transgender Lulbert. Anyone even remember Theron? Yeah, I remember that. Whatever happened to that guy? He just kind of dropped off the map, right? Kind of just fell off. I haven't heard from him since. But yeah, that was pretty funny. Yeah, he got lay triggered. I'd be like, maybe you see Dr. Theron be like, triggered. Yeah, so that was good stuff. Well, you've been with us for a long time then, like 2 years probably, right? Bethicus says, much love. My people speak of racism. But if we win the lottery or get a good job, we move to the suburbs. Why? 1350. Wow, this is groundbreaking. Really groundbreaking content. Thank you for that. Sulfuric, what a really good point. Sulfuric says, I love a good Swiss, melted Swiss cheese and roasted mushrooms and caramelized onions on a burger. That is hot stuff. Okay, thanks. Nate says, people worried about us merging with the normie, paleo, cons, alt-light, etc. This is good, not bad. Trust the king. We are moving the window our way. Plus, many of them are true Trump supporters. Just trust the plan. All these people, it's like, how can you not trust the plan at this point? I'm not even going to explain it anymore because I don't have to. I will just prove it. I'll just show you the way. I will lead by example. All these people. He will never have a plan. It's that meme. His plan will never work. I will never trust the plan. Okay, trust the plan. People are so dumb, dude. They have no idea what's going on. I can't even... And this is the real Red Pills. You've got the masses of depth-groveling NPCs who could never operate on this level. And then you've got people like me that just have to show you the way. We just have to... And you'll come back and you'll say, oh, I was wrong. He was right. I see what he was doing all along. Yeah, we'll deliver that moment for you. It is a thankless job, but I'll do it. Sartistic says, love the show, big guy. Greetings from Gaylands, formerly known as Netherlands. Well, thanks for the big super chat. Hey, greetings. Netherlands is pretty based, so I don't know why you're calling him gay. You got, what is it, Geert? Is that his name? Geert Wilders? He's pretty based. I thought a right-wing party just came to power there. You guys aren't doing so bad, right? But thanks for that. Maga Zog says, Nick, what's your opinion of FDR? Do we need some kind of New Deal American president, or should we just keep doing what Trump is doing until we have to return to sound money after a great collapse? Okay, this is an absurd question. I like FDR. I thought he was based and red-pilled. But this great collapse, look, yeah, let's just have... Well, these questions are just bad. These questions are, frankly, they're bad. my opinion on FDR. I like FDR. I thought he saved the country from communism. He did. I think he was complicit in World War II. I think he had prior knowledge of Pearl Harbor, but he wanted us to go to war. So there was some bad stuff he did with foreign policy, obviously, but New Deal kind of based, resisting communism. There was a big communist impulse, socialist impulse at the time, which I think he steered us away from that a little bit. So I thought that was okay. Sort of a complicated legacy. I like him on the one hand because he's like one of these great, titans of American history, like these, great legacy as an American president. But the war was fake and, some of the other stuff was no good. So I'm sort of ambivalent. Joseph says, is Greg Johnson a liability? Love Countercurrents articles, though. I don't consider him a liability because he's not in our movement. He's not doing our thing. The guy's, he's another one of these overeducated eggheads. You know, he calls himself a white nationalist. That's not what we are. He's a pagan. That's not what we are. He's a homosexual. That is not what we are. So, you know, people say all the time, what's the difference between you and the alt-right? Well, I mean, I think you could see it right there. So, we're not pagan sodomites. So, gonna take a pass on that one. Suck says, maintain your optics at all times, folks. Yes, always optical. Jamia says, Nick, what types of super chats do you find most cringe at this point? I don't know. I couldn't tell you, dude. All these. Well, it's just the very low effort ones. That, hey, Nick, blah, blah, blah. Thoughts? These just trash ones. Caddy says, Ben Shapiro is more boring than the Democratic debate. I wouldn't go that far. Erica says, just want to clarify, I wasn't claiming the other night that right-wing girls like me are quirky, just that we look for family men, not abusers. No, I know what you're implying. I didn't say you said you were quirky. You just clearly don't understand the meme. Us right-wing gals are different. We're different. We can find good men, not unlike those left-wing girls. I really hate this, right-wing women are different meme. I hear it all the time. Women think that if they have the right political opinions, that, they can just be bossy, assertive, and all the rest. Well, no, but I'm trad. Shut up. You need to do this. You need to do that. I'm not saying that's you, but I see that all the time. These trad women, really trad women. And what do? Boss us around. Trad women saying, these men, the problem is not us women. We need to be led. The problem is these men who are weak and blah, blah, blah. It's like, if you're a woman, shouldn't you shut up about it then? Don't you think? Like, if you're one of these trad women, then why are you being assertive, right? Why are you talking about, this kind of thing? I'm pretty sure that's not a very meek and feminine role for a woman to be demanding and, finger and head and all this. And I'm not saying that's you, but I see this all the time is, these red-pilled, fashy women. I'm not like those feminists, except they exactly are like the feminists, right? So, anyway, T says, assume someone did deny the Holocaust. You think they would ever make it very far in conservative politics? Would they be forced to cuck just to live? I'm not sure why you think it's cucking, okay, to affirm that the Holocaust happened, which is something that we do on the show. We affirm that it happened exactly the way that they said it did, completely 100%. There are no lies. There's no exaggeration. It is 100% the way they said it happened. So I don't even know why you're asking this. Why are you still hung up on something that happened 100 years ago? Some horrible tragedy, the worst tragedy maybe in the universe, and everybody's hung up on it. It happened 100 years ago. Bethicus says, I forgot to mention how hard it is to red pill my friends. John Mark has a video called Why the Left Never Learns. That explains a lot. Okay, still haven't seen anything from him. Nick O says, the only time it's acceptable to raise a hand to a woman is in self-defense. Then you gotta punch. Keep punching at it and punching at it. Yep. That was pretty base when Joe Biden said that. He says, it is never acceptable to raise a hand to a woman except in self-defense. Based? I hope I don't have to defend myself. Excuse me, miss, are you putting me in a self-defense situation? Because I'm feeling threatened right now. I'm anticipating that you're going to put me in a self-defense situation. I may have to preemptively defend myself here. Excuse me, you better get away from me. Stop! Don't get any closer. I'll have to defend myself. That's it. Well, hey, Joe Biden said it's appropriate. He said the only time you can raise your hand is in self-defense. Okay, well... Stop right there. Don't come any closer. I will be forced to defend myself. No, I'm kidding. That's a joke. Oh, it's a joke. We all know that it's never okay to touch a woman ever, ever, never, ever raise a hand. Even if she's shooting you with a pistol. Jonathan says, you said you'd work with Milo. What about Lady Maga? I don't think I ever said I'd work with him. I said if he wants to support us, that's fine. But nice try. Sheriff says, say hi to Tom and Ernie for me, big guy. It's Ernie's first time watching. Okay, hi. SEO says, disagree on millennials not being native to internet culture, perhaps older ones, but as a 31-year-old boomer was memeing AOL at 9 and building sites and gaming at 11. Maybe the exception, though, and why I find you hilarious. Okay. Hello, Cope Department. I'm going to have to disagree with you. I don't think millennials are cringe fags. Okay, fine. I don't understand why these people feel the need. Okay, if you're the exception, then that's fine, you know? Oh, I can't take it anymore with, all the attacks and the super chats. It's just like, it's causing me to malfunction. The super chats is a struggle mentally every day, but now we've got everyone and their Jewish cousin attacking me and, you know, digging up old shit on me. Now it's like, okay, I'm at a breaking point here. Well, you said all millennials are cringe, but I'm not cringe. I was gaming at 9. Okay, fine, whatever. Yeah, good for you. Great. Yeah, you're based, though, dude. Great. Okay? Not everyone's the same. Jonathan says, what does it say? Only 4K, WTF, 6K was the norm for a while. We got up to, like, 56, and it's a Thursday anyway. WTF was the norm for, well, yeah, I mean, things are slowing down. It ebbs and flows. Of Warriors says, take my free money. Yeah, with pleasure at this point. With that, I'll take all the, you know, with no message, free ones as I can that are not taxing my mental health. Chris says, what's up with you and John Doyle? Are you going to fight? I don't know. We might have to. You know, this John Doyle character, I've seen some of his content, and he's not as cringe as the rest of these guys. I think he's actually, I tell people not to go too hard on him because he's a Zoomer. And I see some potential there. I think that on some issues, he seems pretty based. Like, he's a Christian, and he seems pretty right-wing. But a lot of the stuff is obviously so-so. So, I don't know. We might have to duke it out. I don't know. Maybe one of these days, we're going to have to punch each other in some kind of a fight or something. Nah, but he seems okay. He's definitely not, he's definitely doesn't strike me as like a turning point, yaff, shill. He strikes me as a very genuine, authentic Zoomer guy. And a lot of the takes he has are actually good. I know there's kind of like this fixation on capitalism and that kind of thing. Maybe there's some evolution there, but, you know, he's funny to me. He's kind of, you know, a memester. So I like him. But I don't want to say too much. I don't want to get, if I say I like somebody, then they get in trouble, right? So I don't want to give the, you know, it'll be Holocaust denier endorses. So I don't want to say that, but he seems all right. If I were a Groiper, I wouldn't be too hard on him. I'd be more focused on like Charlie Kirk. Well-behaved Wilson says, Nick, please give the people what they want and do a cozy Crash Bandicoot stream on DLive. What's the holdup? I hate that game. Game sucks. I got to the second boss level, and I don't know if you saw that, but I literally almost ended my life on stream, unironically, in real life, because it was so frustrating. If you ever played that game, The Wrath of Cortex, that level where you have to jump over the water, I don't know if anybody knows what I'm talking about, but the second boss level in that game, I just couldn't get past like the second stage, and I just can't do that. I can't deal with that kind of frustration right now. I don't need that in my life. So, no, not anytime soon. Really Good Comics says, hey. Hey. Crisp Slacks says, yo, Nick, what's your favorite type of burger and where can we get one? Well, I don't know if you're asking for me to do the meme, but, I mean, my favorite type of burger is honestly just a straight up, like, cheeseburger. I am a big fan of simplicity. I don't like things that are overly complicated or overly fancy. I like simplicity. I like things to be clean and not messy. I like them to be simple and not complicated. And so I don't go in for these like gourmet burgers where they've got aioli and, you know, we've got this exotic topping. We cracked an egg on it and then we have a fried mozzarella patty and then we have pickles and, you know, relish that's a totally like blue and... No. Give me a cheeseburger. Give me a very slim, very small cheeseburger with cheese, you know, onions, special sauce, whatever. You know, I don't want to give away my favorite places in Chicago because I don't want anybody to kill me. But, you know, like the In-N-Out burger to me is like, that is the archetype of the burger that I like. The In-N-Out burger, it's a very simple, small, classic American burger as opposed to these like gourmet burgers or whatever, specialty burgers. So I don't even live on the West Coast, so I can't even get them. But I get similar burgers in Chicago. I like a burger with cheddar cheese. That's my thing. Is the Merck's cheddar cheese from Wisconsin. That's the Midwest specialty. Schneider says, dude, really good comic, says some of the most disturbing content on Twitter. I was up until 3 a.m. last night reading his timeline. I'm hooked. Yeah, he's got some great... I don't think it's disturbing. I just think it's really good. But yeah, he's got some good stuff. Pinnis says, yo, have you seen Kensney? We're not talking shit about the Zoomers here. This guy trying to talk shit about Folk Salad Nation. We're not going to have that banned. Greg James says, thanks for all you do. God bless. Thanks. Intellectual Pygmy says, mushrooms roasted. Swiss cheese melted. Onions caramelized. Yep, it's Yevropa time. Yeah, okay. So this one's getting a little old now, I'll have to say. FF says, not that I expect this makes much difference to Democrat voters, but Warren deserves a fat L for the claim that her office renders her immune from prosecution in the Covington kids' defamation case. I don't really follow that one. Did she say that last night? I don't remember that. Is that something she said last night or recently? Because I'm not really sure what you're talking about. Michael says, the next-gen consoles, PS5 and Xbox Scarlet, come out in Christmas 2020. Which one are you getting, Brosif? Also, something, something, okay. I'll obviously, well, if I do get one, I'll get a PS5. But I don't even know if I'll get a console. You know, if I have a PC, what's really the need for a console? But yeah, I'll probably get one just for the fun of it. Is that what they're calling the Xbox? Xbox Scarlet? That's kind of a stupid name. Bethicus says, they raised my free super chats to $5. So you get all four old mixed broads that aren't interested in anything but monsters and gear count as e-girls? Yeah. Yes. Chat. Oh, does this count as an e-girl? Look, if you're a girl and you're online, the answer is yes. Femoids be like, but I'm not an e-girl, right, Nick? Wrong. You're an e-girl. Get away from me. No, I'm kidding. Just kidding. There are some e-girls that are cool. There are some e-girls that are fine, you know? That's Stephanie Hazen. She makes some good content. She chose the right side. Who else? Lauren Rose is pretty good as far as e-girls go. Pretty based. Faith Goldie, obviously. I would say, who else? Whomst else? Michelle Malkin, obviously. She's not really an e-girl, though. She's a little bit too, well, I don't want to say it like that, but you know what I mean. She's not really online as much as she is in more conventional media. So I would never say Michelle Malkin's an e-girl. No, that is not true. But, yeah, no, if you're online, you're a girl, you're an e-girl. And some e-girls are better than others, but they're all e-girls, so... But hey, thanks for the free super chats. I do appreciate it. Red Pilled Zoomer says, free pooper chat. Thanks. Henry, thanks for the big super chat. He says, I've had some good burgers in my time. Oh, I love a good, okay, Swiss, melted Swiss cheese and roasted mushroom and caramelized onions on a burger. That is hot stuff. You get that at a number of different places. Okay, thank you so much for that. Thanks for the big super chat. Deep Astra says, Ann Coulter is married to a black guy. Very trad. No, she's not. Is she married to a black guy? I don't believe she's married, actually. So I'm pretty sure you're wrong about that. Let's see. Personal life. Da, da, da. Yeah, she's not married, dummy. Yeah, she's never been married. What an idiot. What an idiot. People just come on here and just lie. They just make things up. Oh, she's married. Very true. You know, she's not actually married. Retard. And why would you defame Ann Coulter? Ann Coulter's Queen Ann. PW says, all these people that have done nothing. I love that more than anything. This whole month, all these people that have done nothing, they've done nothing for the cause, for the movement, will come and, this person did this, this person did that that I don't like. Oh, okay, what have you done? PW says, Nick, what do you think of the thought of Leo Strauss? Worth reading. I've heard he was a reactionary and good on the theme of ancients versus moderns. I haven't actually read very much Leo Strauss, so I can't really give you a tip on that. Cheesehead says, have you listened to Destiny's latest upload in which he literally talks about hooking up with guys on Grindr? Disavow? I did not listen to that, but not exactly surprising. I'll have to watch that to confirm. I would disavow, but this guy just keeps getting worse for him, right? How long have I been saying that Destiny is a terrible person? And then it comes out that he's a pedophile, that he beats the shit out of his girlfriend, that he's a literal cuckold, that now he's gay, apparently. So, yeah, it's just downhill for that baby man, this vile creature. Cheesehead says, Matt Christensen wants to debate you. Okay, I don't know who that is. If he wants to debate me, he should contact me. All these people, oh, so-and-so wants to debate you. Oh, maybe they should actually reach out to me and tell me, what am I supposed to do with that? And Captive says, going from Groiper Wars to the fifth Democratic debate was rough. Non-ironically, the most exciting part of the debate was when you burped at the beginning. Thanks for toughing it out for us, King. Well, thanks. I thought that was a little impolite on my part, but I'm glad you're amused by it. The Leaf says, heard your appearance on the Jeff Cooner radio show. You sounded very professional. Well done, big guy. Well, thanks. Yeah, well, and it was funny. At the end of the show, he said, you know, I gotta say, I was expecting some neo-Nazi, you know, crazy guys, but, you know, you sound very reasonable. I'm like, I know! Tell me about it! That's my whole life! So, yeah, it was good to hear that. It was very nice to hear that for a change, as opposed to all these people being so mean. People are so mean to me. And I guess, you know, look, it doesn't hurt my feelings. What kind of guy would I be if I could dish it out and not take it, right? But people are just so nasty, and they lie, and they're just so disingenuous. So to just get somebody who's like, hey, like, I'll just hear you out, it was very refreshing. Truth Seekers to stop simping to Tulsi. Use thirsty simps in the chat. Disgusting. Yeah, it is gross. Look, simps are repulsive. They're worse than e-girls. Massad says, apparently Pete Buttigieg has a husband. I don't know. Sounds kind of gay to me. Really? He has a husband? Wow, that is pretty gay. Does anybody else know that? Does the media know about that yet? That sounds like it's pretty big if true. Terrence says, the snowflake insult sucks. The left accuses conservatives of being evil incarnate, full of hate, wanting to commit genocide. The right basically accuses the left of caring too much. Yeah, it is. It's totally weak. And also, there's no substance in it. You know, you're right. They're saying you're evil. You're evil. You're the worst thing a person can be. Racist. And we're saying, you're a baby. Oh, yeah? Well, you know, you're acting like a baby. You're evil. You're the worst thing ever. You should be killed because your views are so reprehensible. Oh, you're mad at me? You're really mad at me, aren't you? Oh, I guess you're really mad at me. Like, yeah, doesn't really work. Doesn't really land. So the people that came up with that stuff are, you know, moral cowards and stupid. Cookie Carl says, Tulsi just appeals to stupid virgin coomers. She has a pretty face, but no brains. That's it. Yeah, true. You know, she's okay on the foreign policy stuff, but, you know, she's not a good politician, and she's in the Democratic Party. If she was a Republican, it'd be a different story. If she were a Republican challenging Nikki Haley, now that would be epic, but she's not. Peter says, Trump signed a bill from North Dakota into federal law, giving local governments more power in regards to refugee resettlement. I heard the sponsor is a fan of the show and a real gamer. Pinball is radicalizing Generation X. I don't know what pinball is, but wow, that is very based if true. I did hear about that, and that is going to cut refugee totals down, right? I saw a report today that said that for the first time, refugee admissions into America were zero last month. As Andrew Yang said, they were zero last month. How many refugees were settled last month? Zero, right? But yeah, pretty epic, and the law, I guess, is working. I didn't know that the sponsor is a fan of the show. Very big if true. Postmodern says, grew up in Chicago suburbs, DuPage. Crazy coming back and seeing the demographic change within 10 years. Peace and blessings from LaSalle County. Well, thanks. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. My community hasn't changed at all. So I haven't really noticed any demographic change where I am, but yeah, the city of Chicago has been pretty radically transformed. Suburbs, too. Not a Boomer says, I hear Cory Booker has great peripheral vision. Yeah, he's like a fruit fly or a spider. You can see all the way around. Yeah, it's very, very, literally bug-like eyes. He's a bug man. Barry says, listen, Carmella, if the eye, okay, how many times have we seen this one? If the eye in APEC stood for Italian, they'd call it a mafia organization. Italian congressmen sending billions to Italy for military aid? We couldn't get away with that. Yeah, I've seen that meme about 100 times on my subreddit. Big Money Wagey says, hi, Nick. Well, thanks for the big super chat, man. Much appreciated. Hey. Lindsay says, will Shapiro run for president? I hear he can run forever. Yeah, one day we'll get a president, Ben Shapiro, and he'll preside over the Browning of America, but it'll be okay because ZipRecruiter will have a 20% discount using code Shapiro, using code RaceMixing, using code Tyrone, right? That'll be, hi, I'm Ben Shapiro, and this is the... Welcome to the State of Our Union is Strong. Use code Tyrone for 20% off ZipRecruiter, 20% off life insurance, and you're going to need it. Yoltz Terran says, do we ever bother debating borders and nationalism with the counter-signaling libertarians? They just go full autist when you talk about it, it seems. The Republicans basically are libertarians, so that's a distinction at this point without a difference. Nat Logan says, it's too bad that you're 21. Maybe you could identify as 35 and run for president. Praying the rosary for your health, wealth, and protection. Well, thanks. Yeah, maybe I identify as attack helicopter. Funny. I'm sorry. I had to say that. Yeah, great joke, dude. Maybe if I identify as 35, I could run for president. And, you know, that joke is funny because the left says you can identify as boy or girl, and, you know, what if you identified as something else? Silly. What if you identified as silly, though? Oh, yeah, thanks, dude. Thanks. That's so funny, man. Thank you. No, but I'm just busting your chops. Thanks for the prayers. Bob Sacamonis says, ever see that Markiplier E meme? Pretty based. Yeah, I'm familiar with E. James says, four free super chats for you, dear leader. Thank you. Eddie says, I want to know, why do you support Trump? He hasn't built the wall. He's done more for them than the U.S. Blah, blah, blah. Oh, I don't know. Maybe because all of his opponents are stupid and gay? Yeah, exactly. Who are you going to vote for? Elizabeth Warren? Joe Biden? That's just it. Okay, I get it. If there was like a multi-party system and Tucker Carlson was running on the nationalist ticket, then yeah, I wouldn't be voting for Trump. But it's Republicans versus Democrats. And Democrats want to put us in jail. And they want to legalize illegal immigration. And they want to give health care to all the illegals. They want to bring in, you know, 3 million legal immigrants a year and so on. They want to create a Department of Anti-Racism in the White House. And one of them does not, you know. And those are your two options. So, you want to vote for Trump? Yes. James says, no one else deserves the super chats. Thank you. CIA defector says, Pete Buttigieg, before I share what's in my plans, let me talk about what's in my heart. We know what's in your heart. Paused blood. Yeah, that's true. We know what is coursing through the ventricles and all that in your heart. It is the bug. It is a virus. Yeah, we are well aware of what's going on there. Pumping, toxins throughout your body. We get it, bro. Merlin says, Brave app to keep DLive audio playing in sleep mode. Okay, I don't know what that means. Oh, the Brave, what is the Brave app? Okay, well, anyway, thank you for that enlightening chat. Let's see, we've got Schneider who says, this is a growing subgroup on the left that does not like Israel, albeit for cringe reasons. Do you think Tulsi could gain populist left support if she explicitly named Israel? And not just Netanyahu during the December debate. No, because there is no. The populist left exists, but it's on the side of woke progressives. Who is the populist left? It is young people. It is these militant minorities. That's the populist left. So all these people thinking the left is going to become based in red pill. Like, where are you? What planet do you live on? You know, this is what some of the people on the alt-right used to tell me. Well, what we're really going to do is win over people from the left. Have you met the left? Yeah, Tulsi Gabbard's going to run a Based in Red Pill campaign. They don't even care that much about Israel, frankly. The focus for the left is on Donald Trump, and it's on immigration, and it's on healthcare, and foreign policy, if you've been paying attention, is not an issue they care about anymore. And Palestine, obviously, is one of the issues in the the pantheon, the greater platform or whatever, but her calling out Israel versus Netanyahu is not going to make a difference. And, you know, her coming out fully in favor of Palestine instead of anything else is not going to galvanize major support. You know, she's known as, and she is somebody that's basically sympathetic to the right wing. She's sympathetic to us, and nobody's buying it. And that should tell you everything you need to know. She is this left-wing Democratic candidate that is obviously sympathetic to us on a lot of issues. And nobody's buying it in the Democratic Party. Nobody. What is she polling at? 2-3% if she's lucky? What does that tell you? Who's surging? Elizabeth Warren, Buttigieg, Sanders. Even Yang is doing better than her. So what does that tell you? No Race says, did you cover Andrew Klavan talking mess about you? No. Will says, the feel when you liquidate your entire war slave workforce. Okay, I don't know what that means. John says, Trump wants to give Dreamers citizenship. And he pardoned rapists and crack dealers. He's not perfect unless you consider the stock market important. Blah, blah, blah. Yeah, that's a really nice talking point. But it doesn't mean anything. He has not given Dreamers citizenship. He said he would give them citizenship as part of a deal to end chain migration, to end the diversity visa lottery system, and to build the wall. That was the deal he proposed. He didn't say, I'm going to give them citizenship. He said it would be part of a deal that would, over long term, cut legal immigration in half, which is not the same. And I admit, he pardoned, what was that guy, Shlomo Rubashkin? That was terrible. And the First Step Act was bad. But again, you have two choices. So yeah, you've got Trump, who has done things which are no good, granted. But he also has cut refugee admissions to zero, right? He is also working on building the wall. It's not as successful as it should be. He is working on the RAISE Act and things like that. Again, it didn't happen, but that is the position. At least we have a president that's talking about these kinds of things and moving the Overton window right and ginning up nationalist sort of implicit white identity. And on the left, you've got people that want to make illegal immigration legal. But yeah, I know, he did some things that are not great. Just very stupid and short-sighted. People like this should have their votes taken away because they're so dumb. CIA defector says, look at all this free money YouTube so kindly gave me to give to you, King Nicker of the Nicker Nation. Yeah, thanks. Son of says, people should check out Tariq Radio on YouTube. The vids in the chats, anti-white BS there. Okay. George Mountain says, can't wait to hear your interview with Dick Masterson. Been a fan of his since I saw the Dr. Phil segment he was on. Can we expect any other interviews, debates in the near future? Stay safe, brother. I didn't commit to anything yet, but I guess that'll happen sometime soon. I'm going to be debating John Cardillo, and I think Mindy, whatever the porn star's name is. So yeah, I'll be debating those guys, and that's all I have planned for now. Magnum says, you didn't watch the Klavan Q&A on November 19th, Nick. Is this just a ploy to get more super chats? How will I feed my children? Haha. Legalized Ketchup says, I'm raising mice and about 13 of them have black fur. However, whenever a mouse steals food from the other mice... Okay, very funny. Harold says, hey, big guy, got into a fight with this deaf Wignat guy the other day over immigration. The worst part was having to break his finger so he couldn't tell on me. Anyway, Big Mac money. Oh, these jokes are like 10 years old. This joke is 10 years old. Ragnar says, they will label all strong whites supremacists. Yeah, fresh take, dude. Not Cardlins is just throwing some of my hard-earned money your way, Nick. Just kidding. This is a free super chat. Oh, thanks. Emma says, yo, Nick, can I take you on a date? Nope. Deep Astra says, isn't David French married to a Thai ladyboy? Or am I thinking of someone else? No, that's Jim Hoft. Jim Hoft is married to like a literal teenager from sex tourism, I'm sure, in Indochina. Yeah, that was the weirdest thing I've ever seen in my life. It was like a year or two ago. This Jim Hoft, who's he's the owner of the Gateway Pundit, and everybody knows he's gay, but he announced, oh, I'm getting married, and he posted the wedding picture, and it's like this guy who's obviously barely legal, some kid from Thailand or Cambodia or something, You know, I'm sure maybe Jim Hoff saw Jared Fogle on the same flight back to the States, right? To give you an idea. Nothing weird going on there. These are the people saying, I'm not the real conservative, right? Jim Hoff, Guy Benson, Benny Johnson, Charlie Kirk, Ben Shapiro, all these like freaks and Christ deniers and whatever, they're the ones telling me I'm not the true conservative. Yeah, okay. Jacob says, how do we enact our plans, Nick? I'm a millennial, but I can't even openly communicate America First talking points publicly. How do we actually win this? Just trust the plan, bro. Just trust the plan. I'm not going to say it on my show. Why would I say it on my show right now so everybody can figure it out? Trust the plan. Tim W. says, you are objectively a Chad, charismatic, super genius. Yeah, true. And you're right. These people are twice your age, and I would argue not remotely as impressive. It's all true. It's all true. Ragnar says, you need a militant branch. Yeah, okay. Banned for being a Fed? You need a... Okay, and then what? We need to buy unregistered firearms and commit crimes? And then what? All our names go onto the honeypot list? Yeah, no thanks. Cardin says, is progeria based? Don't know what that is. JNM says, just saw the debate on Mr. James Channel with Arthur Schopper. I haven't laughed that hard in a long time. Subscribed. Well, thanks. Glad you like that. Yeah, that's an old one, but it's a classic. Josh the Remover says, hey, Nick, first super chat. First super chat is a real wagey. I know you hate the Paradox Grand Strategy games, so maybe you should try Age of Empires 2, great old-school real-time strategy game that still holds up. Okay, thanks for the recommendation. I'm looking for complicated games to play. Thank you. CIA Defector says, President Trump recently said that he favors a tax cut at the expense of a deficit, then added, if anyone was curious, he prefers large breasts over a big ass. Is that true? I doubt he said that. I feel like I would have heard of this, but... Yeah, sounds legit to me. That's how you know he's white, right? A Lone Slav says, tried convincing my boomer dad about demographic destiny. And like Charlie, he just said he's not pessimistic. Feelings greater than facts. Yep. Yeah, I mean, that's just it. I feel like my parents have given me a similar reaction. You know, look, it's tough to grapple with, but it's the reality, you know? People simply don't want to acknowledge that it's true. It's willful denial. Because the facts are irrefutable. So yeah, you will get that kind of resistance. People don't want it to be true, but it is, you know? And then we have to impress upon them the stakes. Okay, you might not be comfortable with this. You might not like that, but look at what's at stake here. Look at what happens if we don't address this. So yeah, that's the reaction from a lot of people. It's, oh, well, I wish we could all just get along. Okay, well, we can't. And if we don't, well, we're all going to die. So we have to figure it out. Have to just, you know, nut up, be a man, figure it out. Yeah, I get it, though. Bob says, poll made a thread about that kid, Charles Robinson, and linked him. It's titled Irreplaceable. It's got about 1,800 views now. View before it's gone. Oh, thanks. Yeah, I told you I'd look it up. Dope Effects is, how dare you slander my mulatto McDonald's tenders. Okay. Glenn says, sorry for the late chat. Been at work, but have you recently checked your YouTube demographics? There's got to be more than 4% women at this point. Now, I haven't checked lately, but yeah, it might be interesting to see. I'm sure it's unchanged, honestly. Lethal Brawler says, warning, a big bear was spotted stalking Nick in his groypers. He allegedly threatened to feed Nick to pigs. He roars about flat earth. Beware, he hates being ignored and is kind of mentally challenged. Yeah, I don't know why my people keep asking me about him. You're just giving him what he wants. He wants attention. He's obviously infatuated with me in a weird, like, bizarre way. And, you know, his whole, like, obsession and the constant talk, you know, he talks about me and attacks me in more outrageous and dishonest ways is meant to get my attention. He's trying to get people to stir up controversy so that I engage, and you're playing into that. So, I think we all know everything about him. He's just sad, very sad, pathetic. I mean, really, it is just a sad story of somebody who's obviously got mental problems, a severely damaged and broken person, and, you know, they've got nothing left. What does he have? Wash-up. I would say he's a wash-up, but he never was. So I think it's safe to say that we can leave it at that. Mason says, working hard hat in Birmingham, Alabama. Keep it up, King, and God bless. Thanks, man. Amir says, how do you put an elephant in a grocery bag? Do it the safe way. Take the S out of safe and the F out of way. I don't get it. take the S out of safe. I don't get it. Am I retarded? I don't understand this one. How do you put an elephant in a grocery store? Do the safe way. Take the S out of safe. But there is no F in way. And the F out of... Well, I don't get it. Somebody explain this to me. I don't understand this one. I'm Googling it. Explain the punchline to me. Explain it to me like I'm five. Okay, let's see. Oh, get the F out of the way? Is that what it's supposed to be? Okay, that's kind of dumb. There is no F in way. Yeah, okay. I'm on Reddit right now. They're explaining it. Now, say it out loud. Get the F out of the way. Get the safe, S out of safe, and the F out of way. Oh, get the F out of my way. That's what I thought it was, but that doesn't really make any sense. Get the F out of way. Out of the way? Get out of the way? The joke doesn't even make any sense. Dumb joke. Dumb joke doesn't make sense. Boomer joke. Yeah, boomers be like, hey, Sonny, how do you get an elephant in a Safeway bag? How do you get an elephant in a grocery bag? Hey, Sonny, why was six afraid of seven? Okay, old man. Let's see. Yeah, so I don't know. I'm salty because I don't get it. And I think if I do get it, then it doesn't make... There's no F in way. Yeah, I know there's no F in... Oh, there's no F in... No. Oh, now I get it. Yo, low IQ check, stupid check. There's no F in way. Oh, I thought it was get the F out of what? Like, get out of the way. I thought that was the pun. I thought that was the phonetic sort of pun. Oh, get the F, like, get what out of the way? Of the elephant getting in the bag? But it's, there's no F in way. There is no way to get the elephant in the bag. There's no, now I get, okay. So at first it didn't make sense to me, but now I heard it. On Reddit they said, get the F out of the way. Like, that was the punchline. Like, get the F out of the way for, like, what? For the elephant... As if I'm standing in the way of the elephant getting in the bag, right? I thought that was the punchline, but it's, there's no effing way. Oh, I see. Okay. All right, you got me. Okay, so this Zoomer, okay, so these boomers, maybe they could teach us a few things, huh? Maybe they get it. My mod says, autists don't get jobs. Everyone's laughing. Stop laughing at me. Stop laughing at me. You just wanted to make fun of me. You're just like the rest of them. Yeah, all right, you got me. Okay, you got me. You got one over on me. Had a good laugh at my expense. All right. There's no F in way. There's no F in way. That's a good one. I'm gonna have to throw that one out. I'm gonna have to try that one this weekend, maybe. Okay, well, that was challenging. One of the first challenging Super Chats all night. Congratulations, you stumped me. Baked Beans says, I've never witnessed the phrase pro-Semitic written or spoken. I wish we as a society would remedy that. Yeah, I agree. Time for everyone to be pro-Semitic. That's what I say. All we do is call out the anti-Semites. When are we going to acknowledge all these heroic pro-Semites? That's what I'm saying. Oatmeal Moments is 4% of Nick's fan base be like, I would do anything to cook Nick a mediocre dinner just so he can smack it out of my hands and verbally abuse me. Women like that. You know, honestly, I think a lot of women would say that that's not true, but women like that. I wish that were not true. When I was in high school, I was totally naive about kind of everything, but as a high schooler, I always thought, oh, you know, you take a girl out take her out to the ice cream parlor, take her to the drive-in movie, and if you're nice, you know, she likes when you're nice. If you're nice to her, she appreciates it. She'll be nice to you. And then I start reading things on the internet, and then it's like, oh no, you know, like Trump says, you gotta treat them like shit. Not that I treat women like shit. I would never. I'm a gentleman. But you know, you start to see, So this is how it actually works. This is how it actually goes. This is what we're dealing with here. This is how women actually are. So. The Ted Bundy thing. I talked about the Ted Bundy thing the other day, okay? So yeah, it's true. That's true. You know, Femme would be like, hi, Nick, I made dinner. Whack! not across the face, but whack the plate out of her hand. Whack! This sucks. Make something else. Oh, I'm pretending I don't like this. Okay. Very true, very true. You have very true mentality here with the Femoid. CIA defector says a beef-flavored water is being sold to add to dog food, and dogs are eagerly awaiting the next flavor to be released next month. Other dogs' asses. Okay, lame joke. Justin says, keep up the good work, Nick. Thank you a lot. A wise man once said something about a man not being seasoned with politics until after he's 30, so you have time. Will you be attending CPAC? God bless. Well, thanks. I don't know if that's supposed to be a dig at me or something. What do you mean, so you have time? What does that even mean? Thanks, I guess. And yeah, I'll be at CPAC. Says Shapiro is useful because right-wingers can publicly join attack on him from the left. Pretty fun to deride him viciously while being low-key red-pilled. I don't know. I mean, ideally, if he wasn't there, then we would be the real right. So that's kind of a... Well, if the fake right wasn't in charge of the right, then we wouldn't have a fake right to attack. Yeah, and that would be a good thing, don't you think? Kat says, look out, she's got a gun. She's coming right for us. We just got to keep punching at it. We just got to keep punching at her. She's got a gun. She's coming. She's coming right at us. She's got her hands in her pockets. I think she's reaching for something. No, I'm kidding. That's a joke. That is a joke, all right? We're kidding. Rodian says John Mark is a Fed. Okay, don't know anything about him. Tim says stop sleeping on John Mark. Okay. ASDF says I'm unironically waiting on my congressman tomorrow. Should I offer him a burger with Swiss cheese? Yeah. Rob Pike says look at those hands. They're some self-defense hands if I ever saw any. Look at these hands. Look at these hands. Are these hands small? Ironically, I have huge hands. That's you know, that's kind of the subtle red pill of the show. Remember when Donald Trump said, look at these hands, but they were actually, you know, not that big. Rectum says, same-sex marriage keeps domestic violence competitive. Yeah, that's true. Name says, wow, thanks for the 5C super chat, big guy. Hot stuff. Yeah, thanks for the $2. Stans says, boomers in chat looking cringe, whining about FDR. Lifting good white conservative Christian families out of poverty with the New Deal, but must statist. Yeah, very cringe. Cringe boomers be like, FDR was a socialist. FDR was a Democrat. Yeah, I don't really care. Reshi says the Dutch are gay, weed-smoking, swamp Germans, and their country will be one of the first European countries, which will be majority non-European at the current rate. Free Frisia. Okay, well, I've never been to Netherlands. So I wouldn't know. I don't know. I'm just trying to be nice. Bob Sacamano says that Wrath of Cortex loading screen was kind of epic, though. Yeah, pretty epic. Name says, wow, thanks for the 3C super chat. Okay. ASDF says, same with shakes. I don't need red velvet, butterfinger, or mint shakes. I just want a simply chocolate shake and maybe a Coke. I agree. Same. I want my cheeseburger. I want plain fries. And a chocolate shake, you know, or an Oreo shake. Oreo's about as wild as I'll go with it. But I go to some of these places and it's like, ooh, we've got our gourmet seasoned fries and these dipping sauces. We've got a gourmet burger and we've got, ooh, cool, you know, flavors and toppings on a weird bun. It's like, just give me, and it's $25, really? almost had a language moment. I went to this place. You ever go to DMK? They've got a few of them in Chicago. And I went there, and I got a burger and fries, and it was like $25. Really? I was so pissed off. I'm like, this is a joke. I'm not even full. I'm not even full yet, and it wasn't even that good. And it was $25? I could have went to McDonald's and got three McDoubles for, you know, $7. So, yeah. But it's different because we have the, you know, blueberry whatever on there. We've got the fucking whatever. Let me pull it up. Menu. I'll tell you the kind of dumb shit they're pulling on this menu. Okay, where's your menu? It just says hungry. Okay, how about it says menu? Yeah, so I got a burger with which one did I get? This is very important. I got it's aged cheddar, smoked bacon, charred balsamic red onion, Rufus Teague's barbecue sauce, grass-fed, fresh-baked bun, artisan cheese. Okay. How about you just give me a cheeseburger and make it a dollar, you know, or a few dollars? This burger was like, they don't even have prices on here because it's so shameful how much it costs. Let me view the PDF. This was the most egregious example. That's why I'm naming them. I'm naming and shaming. Name and shame. Or actually, yeah, I got something like that. Anyway, it was like ridiculous, and it cost me a small fortune just to get a little tiny burger. Yeah, pass. Anyway, Bethicus says, last $5, I already wasted my life. Old cat lady that fell for the tricks, but I want you groypers to save America. Third world countries are horrible. Well, thanks. Hey, don't talk like that. You haven't wasted your life. You got time. You got time ahead of you. It's never too late for now. That's what I always say. So I wouldn't be so down on yourself. We appreciate you. Gold Willie says, Captain Kirk. Really? A Star Trek reference? No. Rodian says, John Mark is a propertarian and the founder is anti-Christian. Yeah, well, I guess that's all you need to know then, right? Gold Willie says, Chick-fil-A is no longer donating to anti-gay organizations, but a number of places, Bar and Grill is. Well, I heard actually that they changed their mind on that, so... white culture is insulting Ann Coulter. Not going to read it. Asher says, thoughts on Trump Apple photo op today. Didn't see that. White culture's okay, not reading that. Let's see. Jack says, thanks for all you do, man. Not a lot of people could take the onslaught of attacks you've had to deal with. God bless. It's true. I'm a very tough person. Stans says, France is the supreme European nation, given that Charles Martel was based and basically the OG Groyper. Facts? Although, Italy is actually the supreme European nation. And the OG Groyper is Jesus Christ. And we all know that Jesus Christ is Italian. So I would push back on this a little bit. Charles Martel, very based, one of the OG Groypers. But, you know, truly, Caesar, Christ, Rome. I mean, there's a lot of Groyper activity there as well. Torchon says, what's your next debate and why isn't it sooner? it's on Monday with John Cardillo. Josh says, do traditionalist Catholics go too far in rejecting post-Vatican II Pope's church teaching, or is that needed to preserve orthodoxy? You can't be a Catholic if you reject the Pope. So I would say that, yeah, oftentimes there is the strain of Catholics that forget, you know, the reason for the season, right? I mean, they go way overboard with this kind of stuff, and I get it. I mean, don't get me wrong. I think the traditional mass is important, and I think Vatican II caused a lot of damage, and I don't think this Pope is the best. But that said, a lot of people really overstep into, you know, outright not recognizing the legitimacy of the Pope or the papacy or Vatican II for that matter. You know, so, and I don't know all the intricacies of theology and everything, but I do know that as a Catholic, unless you're, a sede vacantist, and in that case, you're basically a Protestant, you got to recognize that the Pope is the guy. He's the successor to Peter, and, you know, there has to be some respect for the office and what's going on. We don't have to love what's going on, but there has to be that understanding. So, M says, do you go to church? Yes. John says, please accept Bitcoin donations, enables anonymity. Yeah, I'll get right on that. Clown World says, IR Map is a good source for optical Israel info. Thanks. Names as well. Thanks for the... Okay, great. John says, please accept Bitcoin donations. Okay, I'm going to hang myself, I think. Kidding. Not suicidal. Just saying that because I'm frustrated. Massad. Groyper Convert says, hey, Nick, do you think the JLP flip-flop could be an opportunity for Catholicism to distinguish itself from the others? Would you debate, Jesse? It might be too early to say, but his indifference to our tactics are fundamental. No, I don't think JLP is our foe. I think he maybe doesn't understand what's going on. To me, it seems like a big miscommunication, honestly. I feel like whoever's filling him in on this isn't like giving him the right information. So I don't really know what he's thinking, but also... The battle is not between Protestants and Catholics, okay? It's between Christians and fakers, okay? It's between people that are socially conservative, like Jesse Lee Peterson and me and people like Charlie Kirk who are not. So all this stupid, oh, well, we have to make it about our little thing and we have to, I mean, no, we need all the friends we can get right now. We got to focus on the enemy. So no, dumb. Stop being dumb, dude. Dean says Teddy Spaghetti said he could put you in his new game, Hot Dish 2. Okay. Let's see. Dumbass says, last night's D live stream was epic. The Ben Shapiro NPC turning around and yelling, oy vey, when you were trying to debate him had me rolling. Well, thanks. I'm glad you were laughing. I'm glad you found that funny. ASDF says, what's red and bad for your teeth? The brick. Okay. Emperor says, brap. Jub says, the bully flirt totally works every time. Yeah, it's because it conveys domination, masculinity, confidence. Yeah. Aren't Baby says, creationist BTFO, science states fire was invented to light Newports by ancient Africans 10,000 years ago. That's not funny. I don't know what you're trying to... Why are people trying so hard? It's not good. ASDF says, chat turning into, are the Donald, they have to go back. Oh, they have to go back? Really? Maybe you have to go back for saying that. Yvonne says, maybe it's because I'm black, but when I go to Chick-fil-A, I get the spicy chicken sandwich, sweet potato fries, and the chocolate shake. Yeah, maybe that is. Maybe that does have something to do with you being black. I don't go in for the spicy. Too spicy for me. I'm a white boy. I go in for the regular chicken sandwich and the regular fries and the lemonade, or the vanilla shake. Now, I get a chocolate shake sometimes, but yeah, certainly sounds like it's a cultural phenomenon going on there. Rococo says, what do you think of Weave? I don't really know what he's been up to for a long time. I haven't heard that name in a long time, so I don't really have an opinion. Andy Clark says, will you please tell me these bears, they're in the wrong saloon? I don't know what that means. Cultist Gordon says, the real savior of Europa is the Earl of Sandwich. Okay, I don't know what that means, but that's going to be our last Super Chat. That's going to end this amazing show. Wow, I've enjoyed this one immensely. I've really been enjoying myself. Congratulations on the Super Chats. They were really good tonight. You guys did amazing. That's going to do it for us on the show tonight. Remember to subscribe to the channel. Give me a big thumbs up. Leave a comment down below. Click the notification bell to get notified every time I go live. Remember, we are on the air Monday through Friday, 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I'm Nicholas J. Fuentes, as always. Thanks for watching. Thanks to the Super Chatters. Thanks to everybody that watches the show. We love you, folks. And we'll see you tomorrow. Until then, have a great rest of your evening.